News Talk 620 WWNR, keeping you informed with Southern West Virginia's most accurate and dependable forecast.
Here's your forecast from the Weather Channel, and it's a good one. Weather Map shows a large area of high pressure in control of our weather. Underneath it, a very stable atmosphere, and that translates into generally sunny skies and very mild temperature. Overnight, clear skies. Temperatures today bottoming out in the mid-20s. We'll hit 50 tomorrow afternoon with plenty of sunshine. If you don't get out Saturday to enjoy the nice weather, you get another chance on Sunday. 33 Saturday night, 52 Sunday afternoon with partly sunny skies. Cloudy on Monday, chance of rain Tuesday. I'm Ken Boone of the Weather Channel.
Knowledge is power. News Talk 620 WWNR.
WWNR Beckley. The opinions expressed during this program are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or advertisers of News Talk 620 WWNR.
Tonight, Head On with Bob Kincaid. Head On is brought to you every night by the 20,000 members of the Affiliated Construction Trades Foundation. If you're working in West Virginia, they're working for you. Now, Bob Kincaid.
Hey, good evening. 6 minutes, almost 7 minutes after 7 o'clock this Friday night. Wow, is it Friday? Where do the weeks go? Who's making the weeks go so fast? Welcome, of course. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid, your nightly confrontation with the facts, just the facts, ma'am. And you're welcome to participate, of course. You know that. For God's sakes, it's a talk show. The phone number, though, is 252-6200. Outside Beckley, it's 800-620-9967. And, boy, if we got a slate full this evening, I mean, I don't know where to start. Let's see. I got the military with a brand new weapon. Holy smokes! We're gonna start microwaving Iraqis. Oh, let's see. What else? Well, of course, we've got a Republican family values update. Let's see. Two men, including ex-Republican congressman, found guilty of fraud. The deputy attorney general in Florida. You're going to love this one. One of Jeb Bush's assistant or deputy attorney generals, whatever you want to call him, was, well, shall we say, feeling his oats. And so he called a hooker service. And they came to the hotel room. Republican family values. They came to the hotel room. He said, hey, I got, you know, and you know, this, aw. This just gets under, you know, okay, we all know that Republicans are dirty-minded perverts, but you know what makes it worse? They're cheap. This clown, and I've got it in the stack here somewhere, he's an assistant attorney general in Florida. He calls an escort service, otherwise known as hookers, you know, sex professionals, and, turns out he tells him he's only got $200. What do you get in Florida for $200? That didn't even. But he tells him he's only got $200. I say, sugar, that ain't enough. And so he goes down to the ATM, and when he comes back to the room, I don't know this much to be true. Somebody rolls him. I'm guessing it's probably the hooker's pimp, you know, but, Republicans. Thank God they're out there preserving traditional family values and marriage between one man and one woman. However, you will note in the story that the hookers were plural. So marriage is between one man and one woman, but when in the Pigley world, pay as you go sex. Is one man and however many women, couple of sheep, goat, camel, what have you. Oh, aren't these people just hilarious? And, you know, and it makes it even better that it was one of Jeb Bush's people. But then, I mean, when it comes to Republican family values, you really can't beat this one. Sparta, New Jersey, Dateline, Sunday, Saturday, January 29th. Yeah, it's a week old, but, you know, trust me, it's still fresh. Sparta, New Jersey, well-known local attorney and Republican committeeman, fella named Jeffrey Patty, 36-year-old. He went down this week, or in the last week and a half or so, Jeffrey Patty did. Cops came and took him down because, and you know, again, it's a remember, it's a Republican family values update. They took him down, this upstanding family man, this man with an infant and 2-year-old daughters. They came and roughed him and cuffed him. Took him away, seized his personal computer. Now you know where we're going. Busted him for distribution of... Now remember, it's a Republican family values update, so naturally, of course, you know what he was busted for distribution of. I mean, that crack? No. Cocaine? No. Pot? No. Kiddie porn. He was in possession of an internet video showing the rape of a 5-year-old girl. Yeah. Faces up to 10 years in prison if he's convicted on the second degree distribution charge. He's the municipal chairman of the Sussex County Republican Committee. And, let's see, he's represented one man accused of robbing 5 banks in Passaic County in Orange County, New York. Bayonne, New Jersey man involved in a bizarre baby formula shoplifting scheme. Tried to sue once to stop Lake Mohawk Country Club from installing speed bumps in the community's roads. Apparently he's one of these gated community types. Graduate of Sparta, New Jersey High School, and the University of Pittsburgh, and New York Law School. Frank Patty, his father, said, Jeff has a computer and he downloads certain things. Yeah, the rape of a 5-year-old little girl by a grown man. I'd say that's a certain thing, wouldn't you? But thank God he was out there voting for moral values on November 2nd. It goes on and on and on. Meanwhile, last night, and of course, you know, feel free to, it can't be true, Republicans are good Christian people. Listen, how many times do I have to tell you? Half of these moral, upstanding, righteous, you know, look at Bill O'Reilly. Preaching moral values every night. And you did read the court papers, didn't you? You know where the vibrator was. And I don't mean his nightstand. These are some fine, upstanding people, good Christian people, these family values Republicans. Jeffrey Patty, sitting back and watching a video of the rape of a 5-year-old little girl by a grown man. What's the old saying? You know it, you've heard it before. These are the kind of people that either get taken down by being caught with a in a hotel room with a dead girl or dead girl or a live boy. See, these things upset me. Now, I mean, we pride ourselves on being fairly pragmatic, we mountaineers, we hill folk. What would you do with an upstanding family values man, a good Republican like Jeffrey Patty? What ought to happen to him? Sitting there, shall we say, enjoying himself while watching the video of a 5-year-old little girl getting raped. You know, it amazes me there's anyone who's a member of that filthy party at all. How can you stand it? Sparta Mayor Scott Seelagy? I don't know. Said he was totally shocked and surprised. Totally. Yeah, I liked him, Seelagy said. There was nothing about him to give the idea that he was into child pornography. I think it's tragic, and I really feel bad for his wife and his daughters.
I think it's terrible, said one woman, the mother of a 16-year-old girl, a house a few houses down from Patty's.
She wouldn't give her name. Then Mike McCarthy, who said he's lived with his wife and young son on Patty Street for a little over a year, was taken aback when informed of the charges.
Well, I didn't know about that. I'm glad I do now, though. Oh, my God, that's horrible.
We probably trick-or-treated there like goons. No, Mr. McCarthy, the goon is your neighbor. The goon is the good, fine, upstanding, Republican family values, Jeffrey Patty, watching movies of five-year-old little girls get raped. Republicans, Republicans, Republicans. So, let's see. We got them getting mugged while they're engaging in their family values by hiring a hooker. We've got them downloading the kiddie porn videos of little five-year-old girls getting raped. We got them getting convicted in bunco schemes, ripping off $2 million, former Oregon Republican congressman Wester Cooley. You know, what did they do? Well, the jury on Wednesday ruled the man, along with an associate who used the name John Montgomery, defrauded investors in St. Louis by telling them that online auction giant eBay.com was on the verge of buying their startup company, BidBay.com. Bunco artists, kiddie rapists, traffickers in prostitution, Republicans. Makes you proud, doesn't it? Let's take a break. This is News Talk 620 WWNR. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Trinity Christian Academy is dedicated to educating the whole child. Trinity Christian Academy has loving, caring teachers who are trained to challenge students to achieve academic excellence. With kindergarten through eighth grade in a great new facility on Pinewood Drive in Beckley, Trinity Christian Academy is a great place for your child. Call today for information at 254-9600. Trinity Christian Academy, 224 Pinewood Drive, just above the Bank of Mount Hope in Beckley. Call Trinity Christian Academy today, 254-9600.
You've heard it all before. Lose weight while you sleep, erase your debts instantly, or make a fortune in your spare time. How about this one? Slash construction wages and four schools can be built for the price of three. Ridiculous? Of course. Study after study proves that wage cuts won't reduce school construction costs. In fact, wage cuts hurt local companies and damage our communities. So don't believe everything you hear until you've heard the fact. A message from the ACT Foundation.
Listen, man, adding fractions is no big deal.
No,
you just got to find what they call the common denominator. Let me show you.
All right.
Now, see these bottom numbers?
Yeah.
These are the denominators. That one's a 4 and that one's an 8.
Mm-hmm.
You just double both of these numbers so that becomes an 8 too. Then you add them up.
Man, you sure make this easy.
Charles Bennett always dreamed that after college he'd return to the old neighborhood as a teacher. But without the money for tuition, only half of his dream came true. He's back in the old neighborhood.
Well, enough math. I gotta deliver these sandwiches.
Oh, sure.
Please support the United Negro College Fund. Call 1-800-332-UNCF. A mind is a terrible thing to waste. A public service brought to you by UNCF and the Ad Council.
WWNR Beckley.
He's got the heart of a conservative, pickled on a jar on his desk. Here's Bob Kincaid.
Welcome back. 20 minutes after 8 o'clock. Man, hurry. No, it's 20 minutes after 7. I can't even read the doggone clock. See, I get all wound up. I get upset. You know, the creep who raped the 5-year-old little girl and videoed it. A Georgia man. Oh, look, a red state. And he's serving a 45-year prison term. Whew. Just makes y'all proud. Thank God the Republican Party's out there guarding our moral values. Yeah. And you wonder why I say I wouldn't leave my child alone with a Republican? Yeah. It's because I love him. Because I care about him. Because I want to take care of him. I have a moral obligation to my children. And not leaving them with preachers, priests, Republicans, it's part of it. I would just assume they didn't get scarred for life by being near one of those people, and I use the term loosely. Let's go to the phones. We got Chris. Hey, Chris, you're head on. What's going on, man?
You know the only way chemical castration works?
Yeah.
You gotta sew up the mouth, cut off the arms and the legs.
Yeah. You're a dark creature, you know that?
Okay. I sent this to you, and I don't know if you had a chance to read it or not, but man, we have got to talk about this. This is disgusting.
Okay.
What you've been talking about is disgusting. This is disgusting. Okay. AdoptASniper.org.
Oh, yeah, I got that.
You read that. Okay. Marquette University. Students were selling bracelets bearing the motto, "One shot, one kill, no remorse, I decide."
Nice.
I found this on Al Jazeera, which commonly, you know, if you want to find out anything about America, don't read anything in America.
Right. But before people, William Kooky Witt says, it's in the American media, too.
Yeah, is it? I haven't seen it in the American media yet. Among products sold on the site is a $15 coin with an imprinted phrase, "Assistance from a Distance."
Yeah.
The website says it helps real snipers get the real gear they need to help keep us safe.
Yeah, and it's my understanding from reading the story, Chris,
Republicans.
Yeah, it was the College Republicans at Marquette University, which is, interestingly, a Jesuit university, and Jesuits are, of course, priests, in the Catholic Church, and they decided they weren't too crazy about college kids, soliciting funds for snipers?
Mm. Yeah.
There is no end to the depth these people can sink to, is there?
They'd rather provide quality videotape to people who rape 5-year-olds, I guess.
Well, yeah.
So Condoleezza has made her trek across the world now. She handed out map to the press. Oh, ha, ha, ha. We're going to be traveling a lot, she said.
And she's so funny. You know, there's a book out there called Cover Up about what the 9/11 Commission didn't do.
Oh, man.
And I was reading in it recently. And, you know, if all you have to do is pay attention and you find out what an incompetent, ignorant, stupid woman Condoleezza Rice is.
Yeah.
And she's not just incompetent, ignorant, and stupid. She's also a buck passer.
Yeah.
You know, just dishonest, creepy, and you know, buck-toothed and homely to boot.
And I guess you read that other email I sent you entitled it, "Iran Took the Bait."
Yeah.
Iran's blasting back at her for her speech. But in the final sentence of the article, it says that Germany and the countries in Europe are still hopeful that, you know, diplomatic relations can. We've heard this before.
Yeah.
We've heard this before, and it didn't work the other time, but it won't work this time.
Right, and, you know, I saw one news article that said she's going around the world drumming up support for our attack on Iran. You know, she's not drumming up anything. She's just going around telling people, look, we're going to attack who we damn well please, and you fellas just better get used to the idea.
You're either with us or against us. That's what That's what Richard Armitage told the Pakistani ambassador on 9/11, either with us or against us.
Sure, and July 2001, barely two months before 9/11, and this was confessed to the 9/11 Commission. Douglas Fife, that bloodthirsty, creepy
ghoul
that recently stepped down at the Defense Department, Donald Rumsfeld told him specifically, don't worry about terrorism. I want you to work with the Russians on eliminating the anti-ballistic missile treaty. And we refuse to hold these incompetent idiots accountable in the least.
I just got a new DVD through the mail on Amazon, which I, you can get them for much cheaper prices. But it's still brand new. I absolutely love it. I got it the other day. Noam Chomsky's Distorted Morality, with a question mark.
Yeah.
And he says...
Oh, he's a leftist.
Well, so am I. Proud and accounted for. If he's a leftist, so am I. He's talking about how things in, that happened in history, if it's deemed unnecessary, or no, we don't need to have that, then suddenly it doesn't appear in the history books. We can't have that. You won't find it in the history books. You can find it, but you won't find it in the accepted history books that's taught or whatever. He's so true. And a lot of this stuff that's happened in Iraq will not be.
No,
be taught.
No, it'll be George's Great Patriotic War by the time the high school textbooks come out.
Yeah. So, I said it a good while back. Iran, here we come.
Oh yeah.
I
mean it's first and 10 on the 20.
Yeah.
And we're gonna use our aerial attack.
Like I wrote in my message report, we've got all the bases. Like you were talking about, we're building these $1 billion worth of bases and stuff.
14 of them.
Yeah. I mean, it's like if we wanted to.
And don't forget.
To launch against Palestine, well, we just use, we say, Israel, you might, we help pay for these bases. Can we just use those? It's the same thing.
Well, sure. And don't forget, Chris, we've still got the Osama bin Laden Memorial Air Base in Saudi Arabia.
He makes, Noam Chomsky makes this point, and it's so true. When the Palestinians strike back at Israel, it's terrorism. When Israel strikes back at them, we're striking back. Yeah,
it's self-defense. Yeah, I know. Hey, Chris, we got to roll on, man.
Bob, take care, my man.
Thanks. Have a great weekend, all right? Bye now. And let's see. Yeah, we got to take a break. I don't want to do any one-minute phone calls. This is News Talk 620 WWNR. This is Head On. And what do we got? We got a news update from Carl Mack coming. We got some information from the Workers Independent News Service. So enjoy them both. We'll come back and go straight to the phones. 252-6200, outside Beckley, 800-620-9967. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Head On.
Good evening. This is Carl Mack, WWNR News. One man is dead after a two-vehicle accident last night in Fayette County. Sheriff Bill Laird says 42-year-old Jessica McClanahan of Poca was traveling west on Route 60 in Alloy at around 7 last night when he drove left of the center line and collided with a vehicle traveling east. McClanahan was pronounced dead on arrival at Montgomery General. The driver of the other vehicle, Cynthia Hawkins of Hanley, had to be extricated by rescue workers. She was taken to CAMC. Police have now identified a body found this week in Pineville. 31-year-old Brian Lester of Pineville was found dead Wednesday afternoon behind Cook's Lumber and Supply on Bank Street. A pedestrian discovered the body and reported it to police. An autopsy is being performed to determine the cause of death, but police do not think foul play was involved. Investigators say a man accused of the 1986 murder of his wife also wanted to kill a Fayette County judge. Sheriff Bill Laird testified yesterday during a bond hearing for Robert Eugene Carroll. Laird said that while researching the case, he came across a statement from a man who said Carroll threatened to kill the late judge J. Zane Summerfield. Carroll was indicted last month in the murder of Kathy Carroll, who was murdered at her Montgomery area home 19 years ago, the day before the couple's divorce was to be final. A soldier who died at Fort Hood in Texas after complaining of chest pains is being buried tomorrow in Webster Springs. Sergeant William Rife died January 27th at Darnall Army Community Hospital, not long after becoming ill during a physical training exercise. The 27-year-old was born in Webster Springs, but his family moved to Blackwell, Oklahoma, when he was a young boy. Rife was a combat engineer with E Company, 1st Battalion, 22nd Infantry Regiment. Clear tonight, low 25. For tomorrow, sunny and nice, temperatures in the low 50s. Clear tomorrow night with a low 27, and for Sunday, mostly sunny and even warmer. Sunday's high in the mid to upper 50s. For News Talk 620, this is Carl Mack, when you need to know.
You're listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News. I'm Rebecca Jameson.
And I'm Jesse Russell. Healthcare costs may be one of the leading causes of bankruptcy in the United States.
About half of everyone who goes bankrupt is due to medical bills, which is really the unaffordability of healthcare.
Dr. John Guyman is president of the Physicians for a National Health Program. His organization recently cited a Harvard study that shows not only can nearly half of the nation's bankruptcies be attributed to illness or medical bills, three-quarters of those filing were insured when they first became sick.
Often they lose their job after they get sick and then become uninsured and can't afford ongoing coverage, etc. So this is a benchmark of how unaffordable health care has become.
Guyman says that one of the solutions to cut the high cost of health care is to move towards a single-payer system. He referred to an in-depth study done by the Lewin Group, a health policy consulting organization.
And they studied the cost savings that single-payer could produce in different states. And there are five or six states where they've proven that if you went to single-payer and eliminated all the waste and profiteering in the private insurance industry, that you would save lots of money and still provide universal health care for everyone.
The CEO of United Airlines issued a statement on Wednesday saying that if the airline didn't get what it wanted out of negotiations with mechanics, the company would go to court. Bankruptcy Judge Eugene Wetoff issued the airline emergency relief on January 31st. The judge temporarily cut the pay of workers represented by the Aircraft Mechanics Fraternal Association by 9.8% and reduced sick leave benefits. The ruling will stand for 4 months, giving the two sides time to negotiate. O.V. Delfamine, National Director of AMFA, issued a statement yesterday in response to CEO Glenn Tilton's message. Delfamine says the threat was unnecessary as it inflames tension and mistrust. He says the threat of going to court undermines the process by sending the signal that the airline has no intention of seriously negotiating.
Here's today's Dow Bob Report. A report was released last month charging meat companies with using illegal tactics to oppose union organizing and maintaining overly hazardous working conditions. The report from Human Rights Watch, titled Blood, Sweat, and Fear, Workers' Rights in U.S. Meat and Poultry Plants, claims production lines run too fast, the companies intimidate workers who try to organize, and they deny compensation to injured workers.
You've been listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
WWNR Beckley.
He's got a break, and he's not afraid to use it. Liberally, of course. Here's Bob Kincaid.
Welcome back. Oh. 7:33, coming up on 7:34. Man, it's kind of a nice night out there. It's not real cold, no wind blowing. And, you know, here it is, the fourth day of February, and you're thinking, you know, in a couple of weeks it'll be time to start tinkering with the tiller, and you know, if the ground dries out a little bit, start thinking about tearing up the dirt, getting the spuds in mid-March or so. You know, your lettuce, your early peas. It's just exciting. Let's go ahead and go to the phones. We've got Jim. Hey, Jim, you head on.
You are? Detect a note of optimism?
Oh, yeah, I get this. You know, I don't know how long you've lived in the area, but you know, you'll have a nice little break in February at some point. It'll just get you all excited.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. Listen, speaking across the TC, as we speak, I'm watching a movie about the Mayflower Madam.
Oh, yeah, Heidi Fleiss.
No, no. Sydney Bowers.
Yeah, Sydney. Sorry.
And her opposite number is none other than Chris Sarandon from Beckley.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
How about
Paris, that? She used to run the Eat Well Hotel and Cafe up on Fayette Street.
Well, you live and learn. I had no idea.
Really? Chris Sarandon, yeah. Plays a good vampire, too.
Brother of Susan.
Right. Well, I think they were married.
Okay.
Just kept her name.
Okay.
Yeah. The Thelma and Louise thing.
Right. I don't follow the Hollywood entertainment gig that much. I apologize. I'm not terribly knowledgeable.
That's all right. No apology necessary. It's not really something. But, you know, Chris Sarandon, he played one of the best vampires I've ever seen in, I think it was Fright Night. Anyway, moving on here. A few things about this Major General.
Yeah.
In the Marine Corps, mm-hmm. Let me tell you something. It's not the first time that a flag officer shot his mouth off. It's not going to be the last. Patton did it during World War II.
Oh, Patton raised it to a high art.
I remember a general in Germany who got into trouble, who said if a soldier wasn't fit to F, he wasn't fit to fight. And,
mm-hmm.
and of course, he had to come home over that one. But I want to ask you something. Can you imagine what it's like to stand before a man like that and give him a briefing?
No.
With a PowerPoint slide or an overlay or whatever?
Well, if he doesn't like it, he's liable to pull out his pearl and just shoot the screen.
These are generally pretty fair, but these are known as murder boards, okay?
Yeah.
And that's the environment I come from. That's what I'm used to working in, okay?
Okay.
And when you don't have your facts straight, or if you don't know, if that man asks you, if that general asks you a question, and you don't know the answer, you tell him, sir, I don't know, but I will get back to you, and you give him a date, and you keep the suspense indicated.
Right.
And this is leading somewhere, and let me tell you what it is. It's leading to information. And well-intentioned as some of the listeners and the participants in this program are, some of them, I think, are guilty of giving some information that's not quite on point.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Now, when you and I talked about things the other night, you just said to me, back it up.
Yeah.
And you said that in the imperative mood.
Yeah.
Not indicative, imperative. And I did.
Yeah.
And I usually speak with facts and things of that nature. And when I say something to you, I'm telling you the truth.
Well, I understand that.
And last night, for example, when they mentioned about the SpongeBob thing is concerned, I did not have the conversation with your morning host. I don't even have anything to do with that man.
Right, and as far as I'm concerned, it's water over the dam, under the bridge, wherever
right.
the water goes.
But, you know, I overheard another caller who did have the incident, and
mm-hmm.
he did say it. And I wish that caller had had the courage to say, you know, I'm the one who had the incident with this gentleman. And
well, I don't think it's necessarily a matter of courage, Jim. It's a matter of, we've got a war on our hands. You know what I mean?
Oh, we've got more than that.
And frankly, you know, I'm, what kind of histrionics go down is of little consequence. You know, this is one of very few places we can get information out that's not on the corporate media.
I understand that. And as far as information is concerned, you know, I had mentioned the FERS retirement system as it applies to Congress.
Mm-hmm.
I'm totally right on that.
Yeah, well, Jim, Paul called in and acknowledged as much.
I didn't hear that. That's good. I'm glad he did. And what I'm trying to say is when I come to you on this open forum, I'm not here to mislead people, and I'm not here to, you know, give them wrong information. I try to, you know, pretty much treat it as though I were going before a murder board.
Yeah.
And from what you tell me about your website, that's generally, you know, what I get anyway. I don't even bother to look to see what they say, and I don't really care.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I try to give good information because this type of war that you're talking about, it's not going to be one with misinformation or information that is skewed or facts and figures that are slanted, if you know what I mean.
I do, but by the same token, I have to caution you, Jim, that there's a possibility that it will be won, and by exactly those things. If the Republicans get their way, if they get to pull off the biggest heist since the Brinks job, they will win it with misinformation, with distortions, with outright lies, with mendacity, with duplicity.
Well, you've got that right. Absolutely.
That is how their strategy for winning this war on Social Security. And you know, this kind of stuff, it comes right out of Karl Rove's mouth. You know, what did he say, Jim? If you're defending, you're losing.
Well,
you know,
he also forgot that the best defense is a good offense.
Oh no, he knows that very well. So if he's got you battling, if you've got a handful of truth and he's throwing two handfuls of lies at you, how are you going to get the truth out there? You know, the template for all of this is Iraq. The template for this is, you know, Saddam's got weapons of mass destruction. Saddam was involved in 9/11. Saddam whips puppies in the streets. Oh, Saddam gassed his own people. Ooh, Saddam, mass graves with thousands of people in it. Every single one of which is a lie or a near lie.
Well, let me ask you this. What do you think would be the best way to combat this sort of propaganda?
Well, first, you've got to make some basic assumptions first, Jim.
I'm listening.
And the first basic assumption you've got to make is that the Democratic Party will stand up and act in unified form.
Right.
You know, what, 9 Democrats voted for Alberto Gonzalez? You know?
I know.
And one of them was, what, Mary Landrieu in Louisiana? There was an Arkansas senator that voted, and frankly, you know, as long as we've got collaborators like that, the future doesn't look too bright. Now, how do we combat this? We draw a line in the sand, and we say, listen, you bloodthirsty, pig-eyed, murdering little punk, we're not gonna let you rob the bank. And if you do, we will fight to our dying breath.
But you know, Bob, this is the thing. For example, maybe it's this area, and I'm not trying to be unfair to Southern West Virginia, but I would say a lot of the people who are within the sound of your radio station, they just seem to brook no criticism of George Bush or his fellow travelers. And if you do criticize George Bush or his fellow travelers, you're accused of being unpatriotic, un-American.
That's not geographically localized, Jim. That's all over America. And that is the perception. Again, it's perception management. It's not fact. There are millions upon millions upon millions upon millions of people who know what a bloodthirsty murderer George Bush is.
I understand that. But to what do we attribute this? Is this a by class thing? Are these people just basically ignorant?
These are
so mentally poverty-ridden that they can't understand anything but Rush Limbaugh and Michael the Wiener Savage?
Savage Wiener, Flush Flimball, Buzzard Boy O'Reilly, Hannity, it goes, and then there's the locals, and it goes on and on and on, and the blast fax comes out of K Street at 6:25 a.m. Drudge picks it up at 6:30.
That Drudge, oh yeah.
You know, Flush has it at, you know, 9 or, you know, whenever he sobers up. And it goes all around the country. They own, you gotta understand, they own radio.
They
own television. They own newspapers. Okay, you got the Mooney Times, you got the UPI, and it's all coming out of that filthy, fetid, dirty, swampy, creepy, snaky, alligator, reptile-laden Spanish moss hanging from the cypress trees, vile place in the bottom of the White House basement.
Wow, that's a mouthful.
I'm sitting here in my little corner and blasting away on my little 25 watts and going, oh, guys, they're lying. You know, I can't afford to do that, Jim.
I gotta get out there and I gotta say what it is, because I know these filthy back alley Bowery punks for what they are. And if you do not get up in their face and bloody their nose and let them know that you damned well mean business, they will run over you, they will stomp your guts out and giggle with you dying and bleeding and coughing up blood on the ground.
I totally agree with you. But who else is doing this besides you?
It's going on all over the country. Tune into Air America some night. Catch Mike Malloy from 10 to 1. Ed Schultz does it. God knows, Janine Garofalo and Sam Cedar do it. Al Franken is the best talk radio going in daytime in America, because he's fact-based and he can show what a filthy, stinking, the drug-addicted liar Flush Flimball is, and what a dirty pervert O'Reilly is.
How successful do you think he is in making inroads against some of these
people? Oh, mercy. He's kicking butt and taking names. The Franken Show and Air America in general is growing faster than any right-wing hate show has ever grown before.
You got any figures on that? Any demographics?
Go to Arbitron. The numbers have come out. I mean, for instance, Franken...
I'm not doubting what you're saying.
No, there was one recent book. Franken goes up against O'Reilly.
Back it up.
Yeah. Wait a minute. Franken goes up against O'Reilly for like 1 hour in New York.
Uh-huh.
And he rolled up O'Reilly and smoked him like a... So it's growing.
Well, I certainly hope so, and that's encouraging. It really is, because, I mean, I hate to see, stupidity has a habit of getting its way, and there are a lot of stupid people in this country who listen to this crap. I mean, you know, I tried to listen to Rush Limbaugh this morning, or this noon when he came on, and he has that drum roll, and then he comes on and just like gangbusters. And I thought to myself, who in the world could take this clown seriously?
You know, I mean,
he is so stuck on himself and thinks that he is such a fabulous person. I mean, you know, his ego is the size of Manhattan.
A draft dodger out there trying to get other people's children killed. You know, to hell with him.
But, I mean, these people, I mean, their slant on things, to me, is so obvious and so perverted and distorted. How can any person with any sense of integrity or any sense of self-worth and thought except what these people are saying? I just don't understand it.
Jim, come on, man. You hold a degree in history, right?
Two.
Okay. When the first shots were fired at Lexington and Concord, 1775?
Yeah, I think April 19th, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think so. Hardly a man is barely... whatever.
Yeah, right. Go ahead.
Somewhere along the way, you have run across, and I take it to be true, at the time that the American Revolution was fomented, and people like Adams and Jefferson and Franklin and Washington and the other Adams and Hancock and all those other brave and noble souls were pledging their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor, more than half of America, the colonies, more than half of the population said, you know, we're pretty happy under the crown, you know? I mean, don't disrupt business.
Well, you know, I was the one who brought out to you that 20% of the population of the colonies left after they were victorious.
You know, when it comes to doing...
Went back to England.
Right. When it comes to doing the right thing in America, America has to be dragged kicking and screaming into the right thing. You know, look at the Southern Baptist Convention and all their screeds against civil rights and giving equal treatment to African Americans. You know, and these people were Christians? You know, it's all over America. And like I said, they have to be dragged kicking and screaming into doing the right thing.
Well, I'm just hoping for a turnaround real soon.
It's coming.
I'm hoping that Bush and his fellow travelers, to include all these other idiots on the radio, will, you know, I hope that they will have reached their Stalingrad, and I hope that they will meet their defeat and be soundly defeated, because that's almost what this thing is like. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, this is not a war that is being fought in a nightly fashion. I mean, this is the Eastern Front of World War II all over again, in my opinion. You know what I'm saying?
I can accept and understand the analogy, yes.
And this is when we're going to have to use our snipers and everybody, everything else, and every weapon we have. And, you know, we're going to have to employ, I guess, the end will justify the means if necessary to combat an enemy like this.
Because no, Jim. If we do that, we are them.
Well, you know, hey, I'm just being practical, Bob.
I know.
I know that sometimes in order to fight fire, you have to fight fire with fire.
Well, Paul Wellstone said it best. Sometimes to win a fight, you have to start one. And that really is where the ground is. Never mind what munitions you're going to haul up. You got to have somebody willing to use them. You know, right now we've got the majority of our Democratic minority in the Senate has got to get the Mary Landrews and the other mugwump Dino senators together and get them to stand in one place and say, listen, you stand here till you see the whites of their eyes.
I don't know how you're going to do that, but what I'm saying is this. Whatever method you're going to have to use, I'm afraid the methods are going to have to be draconian. And they're going to have to be, severe. And please hear me out, okay? Please hear me out. I understand your position. Please understand mine. And from a military standpoint, the war against these people cannot and will be fought in a nightly fashion if it is to be prosecuted successfully. And it's just like I told you the other night in that old Greek myth about Perseus and Andromeda and the Medusa,
mm-hmm.
the one who could turn people to stone
right.
with one view.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's exactly what these people are. They're like Medusas. And they're not going to, and by their looks and their voices, they try to turn people to stone. They try to turn ideas to stone. They try to turn this country to stone. They try to turn the thinking processes of this country to stone. And believe you me, they know they have that power. But do you think that they're going to surrender their heads voluntarily?
Yeah, but it only takes one.
They have to be cut off.
But again, you got to hold the mirror up to the Medusa.
Whatever.
And the mirror is talking about their filth and their dirt and just pointing out what they are. The fact that no decent person would want to be around them. That you don't let your children near them, that you don't have consort with them, you don't want anything to do with them if they really, really believe this Republican ideology.
Now let me ask you one more question. What is this 5-year-old baby? What is this? I missed that.
No, it's just what it is, you know.
Someone actually did something to a 5-year-old child. Who?
Yeah, the guy, his name was James Bidwell, and he raped a 5-year-old girl and videoed it, and the fine upstanding...
Who was this man? What position in society did he hold?
Well, the guy that did it didn't hold any position. It was Jeffrey Patty, the Republican committeeman from Sussex County, New Jersey, who 36 years old with two baby daughters, who was caught, shall we say, enjoying it.
You mean
on video?
You mean he was looking at this kiddie porn? And was caught in flagrante delicto.
No, not in flagrante delicto. He just had it on his computer and confessed to downloading it.
Wow.
Fine, upstanding people.
And this other guy who did it, he was just some pervert.
Yeah, he's doing 45 in Georgia. You know, apparently, even, you know, in the red states, the...
they ought to send him to Angola.
Well, no, I mean, you know, this is the capital, the red states are the capital punishment capital of the world. And even in Georgia, you know, you can't, I guess they can't muster up enough, shock and awe to give this man what arguably he deserves.
I guess so. You know, when you look at some of these red states like Texas and the woman who drowned her 5 children and stuff like that, you just wonder, you know, what is in the water of these places, or what are these people thinking? What's going on there? You know what I'm saying?
You know, we both were raised in the South. You know what it is. Some of it's cultural.
I guess you could say that, but I really don't know what it is.
And some of it is just sickness. You know, on the one hand, the woman who baptized her children with extreme prejudice,
Susan Smith in South Carolina.
Yeah, and her too. You know,
Angela Yates.
Yeah, these are people who were caught up in the demonology that passes itself for right wing fundamentalist Christianity. Okay, and it you know, any demonology will rot your mind. And they were, they were both caught up, and you got to remember with Susan Smith, her fine, upstanding, good, godly, church attending, Republican committee man stepdaddy had been raping her since she was maybe 11.
So that was the trigger. That was the triggering mechanism that caused this to go off in her mind.
Yeah, they never gave me a psychology degree. I can't say. Hey, Jim, I do have to roll on. I want to catch a couple more calls. All right, thanks. And let's see, Kyle, you're head on. Sorry you had to wait, man.
Hey, how you doing?
Doing good.
No, good. I'm I understand that all Republicans and all conservatives and all preachers and all priests are child-raping perverts.
I'm just not going to run the risk, Kyle. I'm not going to leave my children around any of them.
Oh, okay.
You know, so, if I did, I would feel personally responsible.
So every what you're saying is every conservative, every Republican, every preacher, and every priest is a pervert.
A potential one.
So that makes me one, all right?
No, because see, you're recently registered. There may yet be hope for you.
I'm sorry?
You're recently registered. There may yet be hope for you.
No. I heard the words come out of your mouth, Bob. You said that Republicans, preachers, priests, conservatives.
Yeah, I said I won't leave my children around them.
Well, Bob, you know, there's a
you know, how many news stories do I have to do, Kyle?
Bob,
you know, the guy in Florida that's the good Republican upstanding Christian man who's busted for raping little girls. The guy the good upstanding Assemblies of God youth minister in Iowa who gets busted for raping little girls. This good upstanding Republican in New Jersey who gets busted for sitting around watching videos of the rape of little 5-year-old girls.
So what you're saying is every Christian is a rapist?
No. There's not a Christian in the lot of these. There's not a Christian in the lot of these, Kyle. There is not a Christian anywhere among these people. Like I said to Jim, these are people who are sucked up in some sort of sick demonology.
But Bob,
it might call itself Christianity, but it's not.
But
it has nothing to do with Jesus Christ and his message.
Bob, you've said on this program that if you're a conservative or Republican and you voted for George Bush, you can't be a Christian.
No, I didn't. No. You're mixing that up with the person that called me and told me I couldn't be a Democrat and be a Christian. Wrong.
No. Bob, you told me this on the program yourself, and I've heard you say it before. If you're Republican, if you voted for George Bush, you can't possibly be a Christian.
Well, you know, I think that's a legitimate point of view because, you know, would Jesus Christ murder 100,000 people? I don't think so.
Bob, God.
I don't know. I mean, is it some sort of magical absolution thing where you go to church every Sunday and you say, "Dear Jesus, please forgive me for supporting the murder of 100,000 innocent civilians," and everything's okay?
And you've not supported a murder?
No.
Oh, really?
No, I'm not. You know, I'm nonviolent.
How many wars have Democrats started?
No, that's the wrong question. You see, you're learning. Even the short time in the Republican Party, you're learning, Kyle. You're trying to reframe the debate. It's not how many wars have Democrats started. It's how many wars have I supported. I was opposed to bombing the snot out of Yugoslavia. Okay, I was opposed to Bush War I. I'm opposed to Bush War II. I am generally opposed to war. Okay. So no, I bear no responsibility in this. I distance myself from George Bush and his filthy murders. I distance myself from Republicans and their murderous policies, and I will not be called to account for it when I answer for my soul. But we're out of time, Kyle. Thanks so much. I appreciate it. We got to do the news. All right, this is News Talk 620 WWNR. This is Head On. Time for CBS's top of the hour news, and your calls when we come back. 252-6200 outside Beckley 800-620-9967. I'm Bob Kincaid.
I know, being a college freshman is supposed to be tough, but let me tell you about my schedule this semester. All 18 credits. Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, I have American Lit at 8:05 a.m. and then I only have 15 minutes to get to my 9:15 ethics and value theory class all the way across campus. Then in the afternoon, calculus one. On Tuesdays and Thursdays, I have two lectures that go through lunch. Sociology of Families, then Intro to Microbiology. Pre-med. And finally, I have a double lab that ends around 9 p.m. Anyway, I just wanted to say, thank you.
If a kid will do whatever it takes to get through college, what will you do to send her there? Please support the United Negro College Fund and call 1-800-332-UNCF. Because a mind is a terrible thing to waste. A public service brought to you by UNCF and the Ad Council.
Knowledge is power. News Talk 620 WWNR. News Talk 620 WWNR Beckley. Now, CBS covers the world at the tone. It's 8 o'clock.
News Talk 620 WWNR, keeping you informed with Southern West Virginia's most accurate and dependable forecast.
Here's your forecast from the Weather Channel, and it's a good one. Weather Map shows a large area of high pressure in control of our weather. Underneath it, a very stable atmosphere, and that translates into generally sunny skies and very mild temperature. Overnight, clear skies. Temperatures tonight bottoming out in the mid-20s. We'll hit 50 tomorrow afternoon with plenty of sunshine. If you don't get out Saturday to enjoy the nice weather, you get another chance on Sunday. 33 Saturday night, 52 Sunday afternoon with partly sunny skies. Cloudy on Monday, chance of rain Tuesday. I'm Ken Boone of the Weather Channel.
Knowledge is power. News Talk 620, WWNR.
WWNR, Beckley.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head on with Bob Kincaid.
Welcome back. 6 minutes after 8 o'clock. This is Head On. I'm Bob. And something I have paid, and I'm ashamed of myself, I have paid scant attention to. Coming up tomorrow, regular balloting hours Saturday, civic duty for persons in Fayette County, a levy referendum. Regarding law enforcement, sheriff's deputies, fire service, and libraries. And apparently it's the first time we've done a five-year levy, and it's if I understand the ballot correctly, they are separated into the three categories. Go vote. Go vote and support good county services. In an era when places like Salinas, California, the largest city in America with no public library system now because the Republicans went out, these, you know, greedy, filthy, dirty, money-grubbing, nasty, hateful, pro-ignorance Republicans went out and defeated funding for the library. Don't let that happen here. Of course, we're still pretty solidly blue in Fayette County, and it makes it a good place to be. So go out and support the levy. That 6:30 the polls open, 6:30, 7:30, something like that. It's Saturday, for heaven's sakes. Go vote. Go support literacy. Go support the guys who come and put out the fires when you've got a problem, as opposed to those dudes in Kanawha County who go and start them. Whew! You know, support decent law enforcement. You know, these are all things that are important in the day-to-day life of any small community, any county. Participate. And if you don't participate, shut up. Shut up. But that's just me. The phone number, I should mention, 252-6200. Outside Beckley, it's 800-620-9967. We stream every night for you on the Internet at WWNRNewsTalk620.com. And also at that website, you can go through the portal to my website, HeadOnRadio.com, and participate in the rousing debates on the message boards there. Also something, I've got to have the link added to my site, WhiteRoseSociety.org. A very kind person, Ben Birch, who archives the program. So if you miss some of it, if you're getting out to go in a restaurant, whatever, you miss some of the show, you can go to WhiteRoseSociety.org and find out what you missed 24/7, and it's of inestimable value. So go there. And the other thing, you're going to learn a little bit about the original White Rose Society, and what a brilliant, moving story that is. Now, got to think about something. Most particularly, cowardice, because of something I saw in the news today. Shakespeare, Homer, Charlie Brown—I'm not sure. Somebody wrote, "A hero dies but once; a coward dies a thousand deaths." You've heard that. So what does that say about George W. Murder Incorporated? You ever notice that sort of loopy look that he gets? It was one long loopy look during the debates. That evil little grin he gets when he talks about piratizing Social Security. You know, is it any wonder why? I mean, the guy probably takes enough antipsychotics to drop a bull elephant just to cut down on the screaming in his sleep. I mean, you can imagine bedtime in the White House. Okay now, Georgie, it's time for baby bye. Go get into your footy pajamas and Mama will bring you your Thorazine.
Oh, Mommy or Laura, I don't want to take my meds tonight. I feel fine.
Now, Georgie, you know I don't like it when you start screaming and crying in your sleep. And last time you didn't take your meds, you had that awful nightmare where Osama was trying to get you at a campaign stop and you thought I was your mother and I had to get Bob Jones to come and give you an exorcism.
All right, Mommy.
There now, that wasn't so bad, was it?
No, Mommy. Night-night.
This guy is scared of his own shadow. There is nothing that doesn't terrify this man. Nothing. He's scared of everyone. Scared of the terrorists. I mean, yeah, we remember how he behaved on 9/11. How he ran around America scared half out of his wits. How he couldn't even, he wasn't even man enough to appear live on television. The first message was videotaped. Remember that? A hero dies but once. A coward dies a thousand deaths. I wouldn't trade what goes on in his sleep for any amount of money. The screaming of the Iraqi babies he's killed. The screaming of the mothers holding their little children who have been reduced to their constituent parts. The thuds of Americans hitting the sidewalk from 100 stories up on 9/11. All because he's incompetent and ignorant and bloodthirsty and a servant of Satan. I mean, who is he not scared of? Look at this. From yesterday when he started off on his little adventure to try to con America into letting him pull off the biggest robbery since the Brinks job. Fargo, North Dakota, City Commissioner Linda Coates is among more than 40 area residents included on a list. Remember Richard Nixon and his enemies list? They've refined it to a high art in the Bush administration. Fargo City Commissioner Linda Coates is among more than 40 area residents included on a list of people barred from attending President Bush's speech in Fargo. Now, didn't we go through this during the campaign season?
Yeah, but those are campaign events. Them's only for people who loves and worships and adores and falls on their knees at the mere mention of the holy, precious, saving name of George W. Jesus.
Now they're doing it again. And these are public appearances. These are done on your dime, more importantly, my dime. And certain Americans can't go see the pretender in chief. Among 42 area people, 42 Fargo, North Dakota area people on the do not admit list, two high school students. And we'll just let them take a powder on that whole civics course. A librarian.
Laura's going to be there. That's enough librarians.
A Democratic campaign manager, several university professors, and the producer of the Ed Schultz show. Two sources close to Tuesday's ticket distribution confirmed the list exists and includes a handful of names of people who were not to receive tickets, no matter what, to the event at North Dakota State University's Bison Sports Arena. The list was supplied to workers at two Fargo distribution sites along with tickets and other forms citizens were asked to fill out upon receiving them. Is this a president or is this a Caesar? You tell me.
You got to fill out forms with your name, your address, your phone number, your social security number, your shoe size, your hat size. Swear a loyalty oath. And even if you do all that, if your name's already on the list, you ain't getting in. You're not American enough to sit and be conned by the most ignorant man ever to occupy 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. The list contains a wide range of people. Several wrote opinion page letters to the Forum, that being the newspaper this comes from, criticizing Bush or the war in Iraq. Others wrote letters in support of gay rights or of democratic policies. My God, do you realize how detailed these slithering, slimy, reptilian murderers at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue have become? They're going and checking the letters to the editor to find out if anyone said anything disloyal to Kaiser Bush, Czar Bush, Il Duce Bush. You can't write letters to the editor of the Forum of Fargo, North Dakota, criticizing the Iraq War or supporting gay rights or supporting democratic policies like not robbing Social Security. Because if you do, you don't get to come in and kiss the ring or grasp at the hem of his garment. Newspaper report goes on. It's not clear if any one issue links the names together, but several are found on a website of a local progressive organization. I will tell you again, this is no longer the America that was envisioned by Franklin and Jefferson and Adams and Patrick Henry and Thomas Paine and Samuel Adams, John Hancock. This is not that America. This is a totalitarian fascist state. Fargo City Commissioner Linda Coates, for one, says she has no idea why she would have been on a list, other than that she managed, you know, she's an American and she speaks her mind on her politics. I thought that was democracy, she said. Silly woman, Ms. Coates. That was democracy. This is Bushmerica with three K's. This is Bushmerica of the Crooked Cross. Coates said she was shocked and creeped out, quote unquote, on Wednesday to learn she was on the list. Creeped out. Great phrase. Great phrase for people. Yeah, creeped out. Because these people are like they engender the same shivery, little miserable, cold sweat feeling that you get in a horror movie. The only thing is, the movie ends and you get to leave the theater. This is a nightmare that won't end, at least for four more years. George Bush is scared to death. He was scared to death of the Vietnamese. He was scared to death. He's scared to death of everyone. And now he's scared to death of the American people. What happened to us that we are willing to put a lily-livered, yellow-bellied, no-good coward in charge of the most powerful nation on earth? And what does that say about the sad state of the American democratic experiment? Oh, Lord help us. We put ourselves in the hands of a coward. I'm Bob Kincaid. I'm
head on.
Don't you just love sample day at the grocery store? You get to nibble on a whole variety of things without committing to something that may not agree with your taste buds. Apply that same idea to the world of romance, and you find yourself at Cupid.com, the place where you can meet hundreds of guys in your own hometown through our website or at one of our fun local events. Basic memberships are free with zero obligations. You can even reply to messages from gold members, a service you usually pay for at other sites. Most online dating services build worldwide networks of strangers thousands of miles apart, but Cupid.com concentrates on bringing people together who have things in common, including an area code. And since the people that use Cupid.com are looking for true love, one match is all it takes to find your soulmate. Tired of the bitter taste of just another date? Sample your true love at Cupid.com, online or at a local event. Cupid.com.
Cupid.com. Advertising locally on great radio stations to bring people together for love.
Would you rather have the flu than pay another dollar to your cable company? For less than what you're paying for cable, the DirecTV Total Choice with Local Channels package gets you access to over 125 channels for only $39.99 a month. Just listen to what your neighbors are saying. Excuse me, why did you choose DirecTV?
Simplicity, cost.
Because of how many channels it had.
With DirecTV, our picture clarity is just so much better than it was.
I am fed up with cable.
Act now and get up to a four-room DirecTV system for free for all new customers with an annual programming commitment. And as always, your standard professional installation is included at $4.99 a month for second and each additional receiver. As an added bonus, when you get your DirecTV system from American Satellite, you qualify for a free gift. Proof of activation is required. So if you're sick of cable, call now and start saving with DirecTV. Call American Satellite at 1-800-641-0928. That's 1-800-641-0928. Call now.
WWNR Beckley.
A man who just loves conservatives, baked, boiled, or fried. Here's Bob Kincaid.
We are back. It's 22 minutes after 8 o'clock. Really? I think I'm back in my normal time frame. I'm Bob Kincaid. This is Head On, and your comments are welcome. 252-6200 is the local number outside Beckley. It's 800-620-9967. Room for you to get in if you want to. But right now we'll go to the phones and Paul. Hey, Paul, you're Head On.
Hey, Bob. How you doing, bud?
I'm all right.
I hope Jim is fit listening. I got something verified today I wanted him to know.
Yeah?
The David Walker, the Comptroller General,
mm-hmm.
He said there was 25 things he had to look at because things weren't right. 14 of them was out of the Defense Department. Come to find out, the retirees of the military are paid out of the Defense Department, but they just ripped postal workers' pension off for $27 billion.
Yeah, with a B.
Yep.
And what was the modus operandi of this ripoff?
Well, maybe they got so many things going on in the Defense Department and they're not accounted for. And that was just one of the 14 that he's looking at right now, David Walker, the Comptroller General.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's another problem, Martin.
Lay it on me.
Oh, boy. Bad checks been written to the Postal Department. And they're having a hard time collecting on these people because these people file bankruptcy.
Just ordinary Joes? Or
yep.
Okay.
And if you listen to Rush Limbaugh today, oh, my God. I couldn't clean that man's tongue with hydrochloric acid.
Oh, God knows it would be worth a try, though, wouldn't it, Paul?
And guess who joined up with Bush today on his little campaign?
Oh, no.
Bob Nelson of Nebraska.
No, wait. Nelson of Florida?
No, Nebraska.
You sure?
Yeah, Bob Nelson. Yeah. He was on Lou Dobbs this evening.
Okay.
And the man, you could tell right away he hasn't studied any of the laws that was passed in Congress.
Well, that's not what he's there for.
And he's the only one so far it's turned to him, except the kiss that Bush gave.
Just stop it, Paul. You know, I made it all the way through today without even thinking about that, and then you bring it up again.
Well,
thanks a million.
But here's the point. On Lou Dobbs, you know, he always has three reporters on to get their take.
Mm-hmm.
One of them said the very same thing. So it's national now. There's no avoiding it.
Ugh. You know, and yet we can't get the FCC to investigate that. I mean, that's porn. That's pornography. That's obscene.
That is obscene.
That's worse than Janet Jackson's wardrobe malfunction, watching George Bush lay a big wet sloppy on Mr. Joe Mentum.
Yeah. You know, it's just like the things I've worked on, and Jim has backed me up, and I'm backing him up now.
Sure. I understand.
And he works on his type of work, what he's always done and where he's been, and as a good history teacher, he knows what he's talking about. And it's the same thing. I spent from 1990 working on what I've been working on. And as a businessman, I would never volunteer to get in any of this thing or ever join the Chamber of Commerce for anything.
Well, you know, that's one of the things they talk about, you know, and this is one of those ways that you're trying to soft soap and soft pedal this Brinks job Social Security piratization. Is by saying, well, you know, you don't have to get in. You don't have to get into the market if you don't want to.
Yeah, that's like here the governor holds that week session before his State of the Union message,
mm-hmm.
And now he says he's going to have the block on his what he done to his own people. You don't speak to the reporters until you pass it through me first.
Mm-hmm.
Well, today is 2 weeks ago that I called, and his man out of his office working the legislature didn't call me back. He had a block on him.
Oh, mercy.
Otherwise, this would have never got anywhere as it's going. And I can tell him right now, changing the Constitution does not let him off the hook. It's still a violation of federal law.
Well, that's what the federal courts are for, right?
Yeah. And see, you don't roll a pension unless you've got each individual's signature, address, and Social Security number. They got to have their signature before they can do this. Changing the Constitution doesn't make it legal.
No, because there are other aspects of the Constitution that are at play as well, correct?
Well, they're under federal law because those pensions are pensions coming under the federal guidelines, and they have to comply with it. That means they're in the Pension Guarantee Corporation. And if the state go bankrupt, then the government has to take over the pensions.
Yeah, Pension Guarantee Corporation is very similar to the FDIC and the FSLIC and the NCUA.
And if he tries to avoid this, you're not out of the woods yet, boys. We'll teach you a few lessons before it's over with. I just wanted to get that in tonight, Paul.
Okay, thanks so much, Paul. I appreciate it. Take it easy now. Let's see, break time. A little news update from Carl Mack, followed by Jim Hightower's commentary. Always enjoyable, always informative. So come back after that, and, you know, you can drive the bus for a little while if you want to. Whatever you want to bring to the table is fine by me. 252-6200, outside Beckley, 800-620-9967. This is News Talk 620 WWNR. It really, really is. And it's head on. And I'm Bob Kincaid.
This is Carl Mack, WWNR News. A grand jury has decided not to file charges over allegations of wrongdoing and mismanagement at Pinecrest Hospital. The panel heard testimony from Senator Russ Weeks and several witnesses alleging suspicious deaths, stolen narcotics, civil rights violations, and financial management. But the grand jury found no probable cause to think that a criminal offense had been committed by any particular person or persons. The grand jury did call for more oversight by the legislature and wanted a report on Weeks' allegations by May. Senator Weeks said the grand jury's findings overlook a huge amount of evidence and testimony of eyewitnesses. He also disparaged the call by the grand jury for more legislative oversight, saying that power is already exercised by the legislature. Tomorrow is Election Day in Fayette County. Voters can go to the polls and renew levies that will continue library, fire, and police service. If passed, the levies will raise more than $2 million a year for a five-year period beginning July 1st. A Mercer County man has pleaded guilty to involuntary manslaughter in connection with a fatal collision on Route 460.
James Krieger of Montcalm, was originally charged with negligent homicide for the June 2004 death of Eric Breeden of Bluefield. A woman involved in a Veterans Day accident on Bird Drive in Beckley has died. She's 56-year-old Verna Mae McGee Cochran of Beckley, who died Tuesday at Plateau Medical Center Oak Hill. Cochran was pulling out of Front Street in the Bird Drive in her Chevy Prism November 11th and crossing three lanes of traffic when she was struck by a GMC Jimny, heading north in the left lane. Police say it was a full impact collision into the driver's side door of her car. That's the news. Here's the forecast. Tonight, clear. Low 24, but tomorrow, sunny and nice. High 52. Clear tomorrow night. Low 27. And for Sunday, mostly sunny and warmer. Sunday's high in the upper 50s. For News Talk 620, this is Carl Mack, when you need to know.
It's time for another trip into the far, far, far out world of free enterprise. Today, Spaceship Hightower takes you into the often confusing world of food marketing, with Consumer Reports magazine serving as our guide. Let's first probe a new product being promoted under a brand name spelled G-R-A-P-P-L-E. You would naturally pronounce that grapple, as in to wrestle with. But the label instructs us to say grapel. By whatever name, what is it? An apple. A tortured apple that's been given an artificial grape flavor. The company says, the apple is bathed through a patented process, and in a few days, the entire apple takes on the essence and mouth-watering taste of Concord grapes. Excuse me? If you want the flavor of grapes, why not buy some? Speaking of buying, the price of four grapels is $3 more than four unadulterated apples. Go figure. On to an old favorite, the Hershey chocolate bar. This sweet treat has long been 7 ounces in weight, but Hershey has now quietly reduced it to 6 ounces. You wouldn't notice getting shorted, for Hershey packagers cleverly kept the 6-ounce wrapper the exact same size as the old 7-ouncer. They also kept the price the same. But when it comes to raw chutzpah in the category of product dilution, Hershey is a piker compared to Tropicana and Minute Maid, the two top purveyors of processed orange juice. Both are marketing light versions of their juices, with Tropicana boasting on its carton that light and healthy original has one half less sugar and calories than regular orange juice. What's the trick? Both companies are simply giving you less orange juice, replacing it with water and artificial sweeteners. Yes, they charge you the same for the watered-down version as for the 100% juice. This is Jim Hightower saying, to learn more about the fast-moving world of commercial gotchas, check out ConsumerReports.org.
A message from the American Library Association and Bernie Mac about the hard times facing our nation's libraries.
Hey, I'm Bernie Mac. The libraries need your help. Many are forced to cut back hours, reduce services, and even close their doors. So what can you do? I tell you what. Support your local library and help keep your library doors open. Contact your local library to find out how you can make a difference in your community. The future is at your library, so make sure your library has a future. Just a little something from the magnet.
Brought to you by the Campaign for America's Libraries. For more information, visit the American Library Association website at www.ala.org.
Thank you for listening to the station that puts you one-on-one with the people and the issues that matter most to you. News Talk 620, WWNR. West Virginia's only live nighttime talker, Bob Kincaid.
Welcome back to this Friday night edition of Head On. I'm Bob. It's 26 minutes before 9 o'clock here in beautiful uptown Beckley. Kind of nice outside, like I said, spring and a young man's fancy turns to thoughts of love, you know. Well, it's only a couple of months and a half, and, well, this sort of middle-aged guy's fancy's turning to thoughts of green beans and, you know, the little tiny new potatoes. You got to listen, it's February. More people commit suicide in February than any other month in this country or in the calendar, whatever. You got to find something to look forward to. I mean, the Super Bowl is Sunday. After that, we're just sort of into the long nightmarish hell of nothing but NBA basketball until March Madness. Yeah, John Kempe over here. You know, yeah, what, the Pro Bowlers Tour? You know, maybe the occasional golf tournament? But no NHL. Yeah. What, it's all Leave It to Beaver reruns or Gunsmoke. Nah, I don't really do that much television. Now, there's like I said, there is so much stuff out there. I mentioned this at the top of the show. This is just, no, I'm not kidding. The United States has developed a non-lethal microwave weapon for use in Iraq. Now, it's not bad enough that we bomb them, we rocket them, we mortar them, we gun them down in the streets. You know, 100,000 dead civilians, according to the most prestigious medical journal on earth, The Lancet, and one of the most prestigious universities in the United States, the Johns Hopkins University. You know, they say that we've killed 100,000 civilians in Iraq, and 50,000 of them are women and children, but that's okay by the Republicans. You know, the more death, the merrier for that crowd. The United States, listen to this. John Kempe handed me this last night, and I had to save it because, yeah. The United States has developed a non-lethal microwave weapon for use in Iraq. Officials said the vehicle, termed Sheriff, that's going to play real nicely in Iraq, you know, because you do understand the word Sheriff comes from the Arabic Sharif. You know, why don't they just call it Muhammad and get it in and just offend them real well and get it over with? The vehicle, termed Sheriff, would contain the active denial system. The system uses millimeter wave electromagnetic energy that can be directed at targets at a range of 1 kilometer. The ADS system would be downgraded for Iraqi deployment in urban areas. The ADS, now here's the charming part, causes the skin to burn. It's a portable microwave oven for people. But it's non-lethal. Really. If you cook the whole person and they die, is it still non-lethal? I don't know. I don't like my Iraqis microwaved. Makes them kind of rubbery. Deployment of the first platforms in Iraq would take place in September 2005. Goodness me, we're only 7 months away from microwaving people. Stop. Not kidding. Think about it. Your tax dollars at work. We're microwaving people. Now, on the show last night, I joked a little bit about how if George is absolutely insistent that I'm going to eat cat food, I'm going to refuse and I'd rather eat Republicans. That's called satire. I grew up on it. This is not satire. I don't think. Now, bear in mind, we're getting ready to deploy robot soldiers, little video game soldiers armed with guns and scopes, and you thought your kids were wasting their time sitting there playing Ghost Recon and Splinter Cell and what's the other one, John? Something lock but we're gonna have soldiers, you know, a few hundred yards back with video games maneuvering these little robot soldiers. You know, they got little tiny tank tracks, just, you know, very very similar to the stuff that we said, the tracks that we put on the stuff that we sent to Mars. See, there's a purpose to scientific exploration of space. We can learn to more efficiently kill other people. The final frontier.
But little 18, 19-year-old kids are going to be watching their video screens with their little joysticks going, and press the button, and the little scope comes up, and you put the scope on the human being, and you press the button, and no more human being. I think we're starting out with 18 of these, and they've got WMD snoopers on them or some such. And now, the active denial system. Sunshine, let me just mention something to you. If we're willing to use them on Iraqis, they're willing to use them on you. These are riot control devices, these active denial systems, because they are non-lethal. You know, just like tasers are non-lethal, except when they kill people. The project is designed to give U.S. troops options to battle hostile crowds without the use of lethal weapons. Officials said in many cases, Sunni insurgents fire weapons and rocket-propelled grenades from crowds to prevent U.S. retaliation. So now we're going to microwave the crowds. Is it permitted, and I don't know, I'm not being a smart aleck, is it permitted for Muslims to eat popcorn? You got to hope they're not home on their way home from getting their rations, having proven that they voted, and they've gotten some microwave popcorn. That could really hurt. And burnt popcorn smells bad enough. Can you imagine it along with the smell of burnt human flesh? Ugh. The sheriff.
Sheriff?
The sheriff would be deployed by the U.S. Army and Marines. You remember the Marine General from yesterday, isn't it?
It's kind of fun to kill people.
The two services will receive up to 6 platforms equipped with a system to intercept rocket-propelled grenades. And it's going to go on to a Stryker or M117 armored security vehicle. And they could be expanded to autonomous vehicles or platforms. Microwaving people. Microwaving people. That's astonishing. What do you think? Are you up for it? Now, I know the decent people aren't. But what about you Republicans? You were definitely up for murdering 100,000 civilians. Are you up for microwaving them too? Hope they don't have any metal on them. Mr. Jefferson is rolling in his grave. So is Mr. Adams and the other Mr. Adams and Mr. Washington. I think Mr. Paine gave up on us before we were even done with the Revolution. Wow. This too. The purple finger update. You know, I saw the... I happened to be up this morning and caught a little bit of CNN's American Morning. Man, that's a crowd. I mean, the biggest bunch of ballyhoo and administration lick spittles I've seen in forever. That Jack Cafferty, that Rush Wiener wannabe curmudgeon, sitting there talking about, oh, the purple finger has become a worldwide symbol of the success of the Iraqi elections. I used to work there, and I'm ashamed to admit it. But, the election update, the purple finger update. It turns out there might not have been quite as many of the purple fingers as we were led to believe. At least according to editor and publisher. Now, you remember what was said early on
Oh, the Iraqi elections have been a great, great example of the miracle of modern democracy that can happen in a country if we just bomb the snot out of it and kill a lot of people. Why? 72% of the people voted. 92% of the people voted. 99.9% of the people voted. And, you know, Saddam could only get 99.5. I thought some of these media monopoly prostitutes were going to break into open sex on screen talking about the miracle of the Iraqi elections. Sorry, sunshine. It's just like everything else that comes out of the White House. It's another Bush lie. Why should you be surprised? It's all, he doesn't know how to do anything else. What's your name? Don't know. Got to have a focus group. Did you notice you didn't hear the word privatization? That's because focus groups didn't like it. Now it's personal accounts. I'm going to go and wash my mouth out with Octagon soap if I catch myself actually using that phrase, because it'll mean they've won again. They have won again. Transformed the debate and framed the debate and given us the language that we will be allowed to use to describe the debate. He did, however, say twice that Social Security was going bankrupt. And if Social Security is going bankrupt, so is the whole nation. And there may be some truth to that. Somewhere in my stack here, I've got a story. I'll try to find it in the next break. A story from a meeting, a forum in Switzerland, where a Chinese expert stood up and said, we're getting a little bit nervous about all the bad paper America's hanging on us. So, yeah, the miracle of the Iraqi elections, 57% of eligible voters, 8 million people. Thanks for playing. Here's your lovely parting gift. And as Greg Mitchell notes, for days the press repeated as gospel assertions offered by an election official that 8 million Iraqis went to the polls on Sunday in an impressive 57% turnout rate. Then in the New York Times, in Friday's paper, two reporters, John Burns, Dexter Filkins, noted that one election commission official was evasive about the turnout, implying that it might end up significantly lower than the initial estimate. And then the official came out and said, only God Almighty knows the final turnout now. So the New York Wall Street Journal online comes out and says, this is a great question, how the journalists can know these numbers when so many of them aren't able to venture out all over that country. How about that? Making it up out of whole cloth, or maybe just listening to the mouthpiece from the Alawi government, the puppet regime, our CIA man in Baghdad, Ayat Alawi. Yeah, at some point, we've got to have a little bit of truth around here. No, facts. We've got to have a little bit of facts. And the facts are, like I said, in Nineveh, the Christians didn't get to vote. The Sunni Triangle, not so much. The Shiites and the Kurds apparently did come out to vote because they've got a vested interest in voting. The Shiites are the majority, so they're going to get the country. And the Kurds, well, they don't want to get the country, they want to get their own country, as well as the oil rights. Howard Kurtz from the Washington Post, the journalism ethics guy, he said that the election numbers from Iraq contained fuzzy math. And like I mentioned to you last night from the article, there were some Jim Dandy turnout numbers in 1967 in South Vietnam. 1984, El Salvador, they had great turnout. That, of course, was while you Republicans were busy supporting mass murder by the right-wing death squads in El Salvador. Is there any end to a Republican's willingness to kill other people? I don't know. I don't know that it's ever been sufficiently tested. But one thing is false, at least according to Greg Mitchell. The strong Sunni turnout is, again, thanks for playing, here's your lovely parting gift. And the turnout was listed by the, was reported by the Associated Press as quite low in Al-Anbar province, the province where more of our Marines and various and sundry other military have been killed than any other place in Iraq. The chief United States election, United Nations election expert in Iraq.
United Nations? All for food!
His name is Carlos Valenzuela. He said the forecasts for the Sunni areas were so low to begin with that even a higher than expected turnout would remain low. Man, that's some miserable math. In rare deference to an actual vote tabulation, the New York Times on Thursday said that the diverse city of Mosul, with 60% of the count completed, the overall turnout was a little over 10%. Just a little bit more than 50,000 of Mosul's 500,000 estimated eligible voters. But, of course, George Bush is out there for us.
Freedom's on the march! Wee-haw!
It's, I mean, you know what? I know you guys were excited, but see, the thing is, it's the, you know, it's the Toto and Dorothy crowd. You know, oh, they had elections in Iraq. Isn't that wonderful? Ah. No, it's not wonderful. They were frauds. It was a sham. It was a setup. It was no more legitimate than trying to shoot out the paper star with the BB gun, machine gun, and on the Carnival Midway. It's hokum. It's bogus. So, you know, I'm sorry. I don't mean to burst your bubble. But purple finger or no purple finger, there's just not. Well, what did Gertrude Stein say? There's no there. So let's go back. Let's go to the phones. Brian's there. Hey, Brian, you're head on.
How you doing, Bob?
Doing good. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday to you too. I was just my take on all this. I mean, I heard that the Sunnis up there were going to boycott the election because they were in control and felt like they should still be in control and rule the roost. If that's what they did and they didn't turn out, well, sorry about your luck. From what I'm seeing over there now, well, we're going to keep blowing stuff up and, oh, we captured a soldier, and it turned out to be a doll. A doll. Oh, that was rich.
Well, you know what was even better about, I'm glad you mentioned that. I've kind of left that one alone, Brian. You know what was even better about that? Our own intelligence people didn't know it was a toy. Do you know who dropped the dime on the fact that they'd captured a G.I. Joe?
No, I don't.
It was a toy store owner.
A toy store owner.
Who called the federal government and said, guys, be careful. They're apparently capturing G.I. Joes in Iraq.
Right. I mean, it's funny that they even posted that, but we have one. We're going to behead him. The uniform was wrong, and I don't know if it was intelligence just caught up in the, oh, God, they got somebody else, I don't know, but I thought that was hilarious.
I would have hated to have had to go to Michael Savage's website and watch the beheading video and see that spring pop out.
Yeah, that would have been pretty traumatic. A kid would have never been the same.
And did you notice, I mean, did you see the picture? Did you see the little plastic machine gun pointing out of the corner?
No, I didn't get
to see it. Oh my God, Brian. You see this and you go, I had G.I. Joes when I was a kid, of course, and you look at it, and you're, of course that's a G.I. Joe. And yet our multi-billion-dollar defense intelligence administration can't, man, what are we paying these people for?
Well, I've wondered what we're paying the government for years, but that's neither here nor there.
hire the toy store owner. He figured it out. Give him a job. Give him one of those Jim Dandy federal pensions. This guy's on the ball.
Right. It's a shame. I mean, it's funny, but it's bad at the same time.
Well, I just hope they don't start, picking up Barbies.
Well, I actually heard that they had captured a female GI and it was a Barbie dressed up, but I think it was something that Rush did as a spoof.
You know, what do they think of our intelligence that they can, you know, that they know that they can fool us with a GI Joe for a couple of days?
Only other thing, I mean, possibility, intelligence is saying, well, okay, we'll just let them run with it and see how long it takes somebody to figure out that it is a GI Joe. Let it make national headlines and then spoof it. And
oh, Brian, that
spoofed, it makes them look that much bigger of an idiot for even trying it to begin with.
Oh, but that's kind of cynical, isn't it? I mean, consider, you know, you don't have a name, you don't have a serial number, but, you know, some mother, every mother with a child over there is sitting there, you know, on her knees praying, dear God, don't let it be my kid. Do you honestly think you may be right. Our defense business might be willing to put people through that kind of hell.
Well, I would hope that they wouldn't be.
I would too. But I won't put anything past them anymore. We're microwaving people.
That's just like with Papa Joe, you know, I don't put anything past him with the new gag orders that, you know, was snuck through session that nobody knew anything about. I'm waking up to realize that government is definitely not for the people, by the people anymore. It's, you know, we're, regardless of party, we're here to worry about our backs and not worry about anybody else.
Well, we're here, you know, it's of the corporations, by the corporations, and for the corporations. Well, you know, we have a chance to change that, Brian. But it's not going to happen overnight. This is a long struggle. You know,
right.
You know, it's and that's on a national scale of by and for the corporations. You know, here in West Virginia, it's of the coal companies, by the coal companies, and for the coal companies.
Yeah, and it's both parties. I mean, there's not one party that's, you know, left to blame being by themselves.
No, any party, and that will sell out the middle class. Earns my disdain. That's why I'm so excited about this clean elections bill. There's going to be a meeting, I think the 7th. Yeah, Monday the 7th, down at the Capitol, about a pilot program for the clean elections bill. And it would be so nice if we could have 500 or 1,000 people in there. Just, you know, and we can be nice this time through. We don't have to take the pitchforks and the torches. Not this time.
Well, hopefully we can get, you know, everybody. Hopefully we can get the clean election things passed and be able to have people that will run, that can afford to run and say, like you said before, you know, I won't be at the dinners. I won't rub shoulders with them. I won't eat their free shrimp and, you know, just regular Joes running for office.
Well, not Joes.
Well, you know, Bob George and Bill then.
Okay. I tell you what, Brian, I know you wander by Head On Radio from time to time. I've got an email about this clean elections thing. I'm sure I'll catch some hell from the cut and paste police, but I'll cut and paste the whole thing in there because there's really not a link to it. But it gives the date and the time and the who's involved and the what's and the wherefores, and you can see for yourself.
Okay.
All right. Hey,
all right,
Brian,
I appreciate you.
Thanks so much, and have yourself a great week. Hey, who's winning the Super? Who's going to win the Super Bowl?
To be honest, I don't know. I haven't followed it that much this year, and I've been sick for the last 2 months.
Oh, getting better?
Starting to. It's moved from my chest up into my nose. So.
Well, let's get it the rest of the way out.
Well, I'm trying to.
And I don't want to be there to see it when it happens.
I hope nobody's there to see it either. Buddy, you have yourself a good weekend.
Take it easy now. All right, it's break time. You know, has the Super Bowl hype been down a little bit? Is this like the apathy bowl? You know, Philadelphia and New England, I'll wait till next year and let Ben Roethlisberger get another year under his belt and start worrying about the Steelers again. Listen, let's see what the big overgrown bullies who are mismanaging this universe are doing this evening. Let's check out the news. This is News Talk 620 WWNR. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Head on.
News Talk 620, WWNR, Beckley. Now, CBS covers the world at the tone. It's 9 o'clock.
News Talk 620 WWNR, keeping you informed with Southern West Virginia's most accurate and dependable forecast.
Here's your forecast from the Weather Channel, and it is a good one. Weather Map shows a large area of high pressure in control of our weather. Underneath it, a very stable atmosphere, and that translates into generally sunny skies and a mild temperature. Overnight, clear skies. Temperatures tonight bottoming out in the mid-20s. We'll hit 50 tomorrow afternoon with plenty of sunshine. If you don't get out Saturday to enjoy the nice weather, you get another chance on Sunday. 33 Saturday night, 52 Sunday afternoon with partly sunny skies. Cloudy on Monday, chance of rain Tuesday. I'm Ken Boone of the Weather Channel.
Knowledge is power. News Talk 620 WWNR.
WWNR Beckley.
Back to radio for the rest of us. Head on.
Welcome back. 54 minutes left until the weekend. I'm Bob Kincaid, and what I mentioned earlier in chatting with Brian, we have talked a lot about clean elections on this program. The Select Committee F on Campaign Finance Reform is meeting for the final interim session on Monday, February 7th, 1 p.m. in Senate Judiciary Room 208 West to consider a proposed pilot project on campaign finance reform. We need some warm bodies. And really, I don't see how this is an issue that too many people, even Republicans, could take issue with. This is about getting the dirty money out of our political system and getting some clean and decent people participating in it. People, you know, people with vision, people with, you know, real heart and real soul who don't have to prostitute themselves out anymore. And that includes many people that are in the legislature now. We're going to, you know, we're going to let them feel, you know, really good and clean for a change, not having to run around with their hand out. Wouldn't that be nice? Wouldn't you feel like maybe they were being a little more responsive to you if you knew that they hadn't taken, you know, umpty bajillion dollars from, Uncle Donnie Blankenstein? Now, those are the people that are going to oppose it, the people that like Uncle Donnie Blankenstein's money. So, you know, by your fruits you shall know them, right? Right. Let's go on to the phones. David's with us. Hey, David, your head on. Happy Friday.
Hello, Bob.
How you doing?
Wow. There wasn't all that usual noise.
We're getting better every day.
Golly, progress, you know, and that routine about with a handout and all the rest of it, the guys with the biggest amount of money to spend, they'll scream that that's a restriction of their freedom of speech.
Oh, gosh, yes. But it isn't, because it's a voluntary program.
Well, no, I'm talking about anything that potentially might in some way restrict, limit, or even reveal where the money comes from.
Mm-hmm.
They'll call that a restriction of the freedom of speech. You know, anybody in America should be able to donate to an election such that they can buy it or make our thoughts known.
Yeah, how lovely it is, David, that we've reached a point in American civic life that political speech is literally measured by money. Now, do you really think that that's what Mr. Jefferson had in mind when he wrote his notes on the state of Virginia or whatever?
He did not mean that. I was lucky enough, in one of the few times I was able to travel outside the United States, there was a very low-level election going on in England at one point in time when I was able to spend about a week and a half there. And I was astonished that the country, it only cared about football results, which we would say soccer, they say football. It was football results and what was going on in the election campaign. Why? Because it lasted for 3 weeks. All the candidates had access to media, and there was debate, open and unstructured. It was a free-for-all, and it was the most enlivening, wonderful thing I've ever seen, and and this was 10, 12 years ago, and I was hurt by realizing what our elections were then, and that they're only worse now, which leads me to, you know, you said, what are we paying the intelligence guys for?
Mm-hmm.
since you asked the sporting question earlier, you've seen enough sporting events. You've seen the San Diego Chicken.
Oh, yes, of course.
You've seen that head go up and down.
Yeah.
You've seen that, yes, yeah. Well, all you've got to do is think of about 20, 40, 5, it doesn't matter. Any of those people that are in intelligence now, those are expected to be many San Diego Chickens.
Uh-huh.
What would you like to hear, boss? What would you like to hear? Sure, I can find it. Give me a few minutes. I can find it. What would you like to hear?
Yellowcake, uranium, and Iran?
Exactly. That's what we're paying them for. We're paying the greatest virtue of the three things that matter most to a Bush appointee. First, there's loyalty. Second, there's loyalty. And third is review item one. Tell the boss what the boss tells you he wants to hear. Or tell the boss what Grover Norquist tells you the boss wants to hear. Or Wolf Fitz, or any of the rest of them.
I wish you were wrong.
I wish I were too, Bob. And I wish America had more people making noise, being a little bit unruly, going, wait a second, what is this? Plug in an expletive deleted. And I swear, between right-wing talk radio, between a reduction of educational opportunity to hear what's going on, there's a good-sized town, 100,000 people, 80 miles east of where I live, Cookeville, Tennessee.
Oh, yeah, I'm well familiar with it.
The principal of the largest high school threw out, and I don't mean said, I would like you to leave, whatever else. I mean, this man pushed, shoved, and made leave a coffee table with two folding chairs and two guys, one from the Quakers and one from Vietnam Veterans for Peace. He picked up, this was the high school principal.
Recently?
Thursday afternoon.
Oh.
You can find it on the internet. It's true because it ran in the National Tennessean.
Did I hear a little irony in your voice?
Did I ever speak with irony? Anyway, the thing that triggered it was a quote that I remember from Eisenhower's era. He said, whenever man, and I'm paraphrasing, whenever man spends money on military might, whether it be, and there was a litany of items, tanks, guns, planes, he takes money away from programs that could feed, clothe, and educate.
I've read that, and you're pretty close.
Close enough that no one can say I missed the spirit.
Yeah, close enough for government work.
You got it, bro.
In more ways than one.
Indeed, and please remember, Dwight David Eisenhower spoke fervently about the military-industrial complex as being dangerous. Well, it's another form of corporatism.
Well, sure it is. It's the platinum card corporatism.
Well, exactly. Well, he was probably talking about a Bush relative when he said that. There's the Krupp Works in Germany, and there's the Bush family here. They're war profiteers. Anyway, this high school principal said, I'm sorry, that's un-American, and it's anti-military. Get out of my high school and don't ever come back. And he pushed and shoved physically until they left.
He laid hands on... No, you're pulling my leg.
No.
Principal laid hands on a Quaker.
And said to the... No, you're not moving fast. It was like... Come on, keep going, keep it. Don't stop, don't say anything, keep going, keep going, keep going.
Oh, and this guy's in charge of little children that are going to go and die in Bush wars. And he apparently wants them to?
Well, my only theory is that he must. He doesn't want anybody thinking about what that war is really about. And I am thrilled that the election went as well as it did. But I am watching with eager anticipation to see where all this takes us, because there's going to be a Shiite government in place.
Oh, Mr. Alawi is already getting his rear end handed to him. I mean, there's a couple of mullahs standing out in the green zone going, is this your butt?
The Shiite cleric party is putting real distance between themselves and Mr. Alawi's party.
And there's been this odd little eye of the storm as the Bushistas brag and scream and, you know, cuddle up to free elections. Well, what if that Shiite majority in just a few weeks says something they don't like? Oops, tilt, rethink, how do we get out of this?
Thanks for playing.
Yes, exactly. Do we have to let the world know this is happening?
No. Time now for Let's Kill Us a Mullah.
Exactly. Exactly.
And, you know, once we start that, it's going to be the equivalent of the idiotic little boy who finds himself a tree limb and a hornet's nest and decides to insert one in the other and see what happens. You know, we'll bump us off a couple of mullahs.
Yeah, and is amazed by the outcome.
Yeah.
And wants somebody to bail his, you know, rear end out.
Took us out of the fire, absolutely.
Oh, it'll be in the fire.
You know, I've heard this accusation. This is not rooting for that outcome.
Oh, God, no. And I say that in complete deadly seriousness. I do not want that. I want the Shiites. I want the Shiites badly. I want badly for them to give the Sunnis, whether they voted or not. You cannot ignore a politically active one-third of a nation that has been the power structure previously.
Well, isn't that how you wind up with Rwanda? Isn't that the Tutsis and the Hutus?
It's exactly how you wind up with Rwanda. That's exactly how you wind up with any political situation that is untenable, unnatural, and abhorrent. You've got to let those people have some stake in that government. No stake in that government means they step away from it. And to step away from government in that country means insurgency.
No, it means Americans coming home feet first in higher volume.
And it means the living Americans never leave there. The only way for America to come home will be in a body bag. And that's, we lived that once. I did directly. Not as a member of the service, but that's my generation.
Yeah.
I know what that looks like. I know what that's feel like. I know what it is to lose friends there.
You've seen the movie, and you know how it ends.
Well, actually, I was in the movie.
Yeah.
As a person in this country, not over there, but yes. And and the idea that there is so much political mileage being generated, there's so much, you know, look at us, the elections. And Iraq is headed toward electing a government that is going to be so closely aligned with Iran. Isn't that going to be interesting?
Oh yeah, there's all kinds of ways of making it interesting. As a young man long ago, David, there was a company called Avalon Hill. I don't know if you ever heard of them, but they manufactured games, and I'm not talking about Parcheesi. These were incredibly elaborate military reenactment scenarios with boards that would take up an entire dining room table. You know, we're talking about 4x4 with a little hexagonal grid pattern superimposed on it. And they had one for Gettysburg. They had one for the American Revolution. They had Stalingrad. I mean, brilliant. And the rule book was, 50 pages long. And okay. I loved to play those things.
And right, you were ahead of me. You were more willing to think and dig into it. I didn't remember the name, but I do remember that there was an incredible board game, because I remember thinking when I heard about them, and honestly, I don't remember the name, you know, as much as I love simple childlike things like Risk and all the rest of it, I thought, my God, if I could have gotten my hands on that when I was 19, I might have never left the room for a couple of days.
Well, yeah, and you know, even Risk, and we've joked about having a Risk tournament. Can you imagine? You mentioned these Iraqi Shiites being closely aligned to the Iranian Shiites. You know, they pay people in Washington hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars, to think things like this. And here we are doing it for free, David. That's patriotism. Imagine, if you will, George gets his, you know, gets his murder on and gets started in Iran. And you're supplying, you have to attack from the Afghan frontier or from the Persian Gulf or maybe down from the north. The Russians probably won't think so well of that.
No.
And you get all that going there and you look behind you, all George Armstrong Custer like, and go, where'd all those Shiite Indians come from? Because you've got them on your flanks, you got them on your rear, and you got them in your front. And this is no time to play Marshal Foch and say, I am surrounded. I have them right where I want them. I attack.
No. It's the rudest form of that old joke about what's this we?
Yeah, Saudi. Exactly.
Oh, it would be. It could be, and I don't want it to be, and I'm not wishing for it. So any of you right-wingers out there, David is not wishing for a bad outcome. He's wishing for more thought on the front end so that we didn't put ourselves in a spot that made us vulnerable to such a thing.
Yeah, and you use the right word, David. You're wishing. I mean, this is pure, unmitigated, plain old-fashioned garden variety Tinkerbellism. Because that's what we're going to do. We're going to wish. I mean, George Bush can't get up in the morning and tie his shoes without screwing up. I mean, he screwed up the economy. He has he screwed up and got 3,000 people killed on 9/11. He screwed up Afghanistan. He screwed up Iraq. He's trying to screw up Social Security. He has damn sure screwed up Medicare. And if he starts this war in Iran, we're baseball fans. He's going to be, you and I both know, David, Bubba's going to hit for average, and he's going to screw up Iran, too.
Oh, of course he will. And the problem is that there is such momentum in so many parts of the country for him to do this stuff under these malaprop titles that have been stuck on all of this stuff. Everything's upside down. Clean skies. Great. The American air is worse off now than it's ever been, but how did it happen? Under the Clean Skies Act. You know, they always figure out a way. That book I mentioned the other night, Don't Think of an Elephant.
Right.
They're so good at causing us, some of us among the American citizenry, to not realize what they're doing to us.
And to like it when they do, as long as they can stick a cross in it or wrap it in a flag and, you know. Oh, we'll just love it.
I have this deep, fervent hope that if he doesn't do enough for his ultra, ultra, ultra right-wing religious conservative group, that they bolt on him and take away some of his power base because he is not sanctified enough.
More Tinkerbellism, David. Sorry.
I know.
that or your cocktail hour started earlier than mine did.
Oh no, I'm a ways away from delusion based on cocktails. Okay, so who do you like in the Super Bowl, Mr. Host?
I think Bill Belichick reminds me so much of in terms of just pure football genius. He reminds me so much of Vince Lombardi. I kind of land with them, but I do like the heart. That oddly enough, you know, for the hot dog that he is, the heart that Terrell Owens is showing. You know,
even though, you and I are very close in that opinion, Terrell Owens has been a persona non grata for decades, years and years for me, because that man knocked my beloved Packers out of the playoffs when he was a rookie receiver with San Francisco.
Right.
When San Francisco was an at-home underdog, Green Bay went there, and for whatever reason, and it was on a Hail Mary pass. Steve Young, in the last year that he played, lobbed one up there, and Owens, I dislike that man. I dislike the showboat, but I admire his physical courage, unlike Randy Moss.
And there, yeah.
Mr. Owens will play through all plays. And unlike a couple of other guys, Mr. Owens will go over the middle, And if he's nothing but a great decoy, I think he might matter. I personally think if you just look at 8 in a row in the playoffs, just the statistics of winning 8 playoff games in a row, that's a tremendous statistical burden.
Absolutely. And the other thing, David, and I hate to say this, but I watched, and the Eagles played some deadly dull football through the playoffs. They won, but my God, they were dull.
Oh, of course they did. And, you know, that's fine, too. And I really think it's going to be a low-scoring game.
If it is, they've got a chance.
If Patriots win, it's a blowout. If Eagles win, it's going to be close. I think it's going to be Eagles 12-10.
Oh, my God, you're out on a limb.
12-10, Westbrook matters, and the kicker for the Eagles does it.
Okay.
And on America's greatest day for eating all the wrong foods, I'll be right there in the middle of it.
I'm doing wings. We do wings on Super Bowl Sunday. I'm going to do some hot wings and some of my invisible barbecue sauce, white barbecue wings.
Well, now that sounds intriguing.
Yeah, I'll have a report on Monday.
And I'll let you know how an eight-pound bone-in loin of lamb goes.
Ah, now see what you do.
Foolish to try something like that on an outside barbecue pit. What if it rains?
Well, you get the sheet steel and you put it on top and you let it get a little smoky.
No, I start drinking sooner and I bake it.
Oh.
I treat it like a prime.
Not only a sports fan, but a philosopher to boot. David, thanks so much and have a great weekend, okay?
You too, Bob.
All right, see ya. Let's see. I don't want to put anybody on with just a minute or so. Stick with us, okay? I promise we're coming back to the phones right after the bottom of the hour break. This is News Talk 620 WWNR. This is Head On. I start drinking earlier and put it in the oven. Man, that's brain power. I'm Bob Kincaid.
This is Carl Mack, WWNR News. One man is dead after a two-vehicle accident last night in Fayette County. Sheriff Bill Laird says 42-year-old Jessica McClanahan of Poca was traveling west on Route 60 in Alloy at around 7 last night when he drove left of the center line and collided with a vehicle traveling east. McClanahan was pronounced dead on arrival at Montgomery General. The driver of the other vehicle, Cynthia Hawkins of Hanley, had to be extricated by rescue workers. She was taken to CAMC. Police have now identified a body found this week in Pineville. 31-year-old Brian Lester of Pineville was found dead Wednesday morning, or rather Wednesday afternoon, behind Cook's Lumber and Supply on Bank Street. A pedestrian discovered the body and reported it to police. An autopsy is being performed to determine the cause of death, but police do not think foul play was involved. Investigators say a man accused of the 1986 murder of his wife also wanted to kill a Fayette County judge. Sheriff Bill Laird testified yesterday during a bond hearing for Robert Eugene Carroll. Laird said that while researching the case, he came across a statement from a man who said Carroll threatened to kill the late judge J. Zane Summerfield. Carroll was indicted last month in the murder of Kathy Carroll, who was murdered at her Montgomery area home 19 years ago, the day before the couple's divorce was to be final. A soldier who died at Fort Hood in Texas after complaining of chest pains is being buried tomorrow in Webster Springs. Sergeant William Reif died January 27th at Darnall Army Community Hospital, not long after becoming ill during a physical training exercise. The 27-year-old was born in Webster Springs, but his family moved to Blackwell, Oklahoma, when he was a young boy. Reif was a combat engineer with E Company, 1st Battalion, 22nd Infantry Regiment. Clear tonight, low 25. For tomorrow, sunny and nice, temperatures in the low 50s. Clear tomorrow night with a low 27, and for Sunday, mostly sunny and even warmer. Sunday's high in the mid to upper 50s. For News Talk 620, this is Carl Mack, when you need to know.
Jack catches it, slams, and it hangs on the rim, and the Cougars are on a roll. His sixth three-pointer of the game, and this one from 11 feet beyond the arc. And the Cougars are national champions.
This is our town. This is our team. It's Mountain State University Cougar basketball, and you can follow all the exciting action on Power Country 105.9 WTNJ. The 2004 NAIA Division I national champs are looking to go right back. Don't miss a game, home or away. This is Paul Fanscon inviting you to join me for all the exciting action this year of Mountain State University Cougar basketball on 105.9 WTNJ.
Who is it?
Special delivery.
Who?
Pizza Man.
Hey, you're not the Pizza Man. You're the cable guy again.
Price Patrol.
No, you're not. I can see your van. You're the cable company. I'm not going to let you raise my rates again. I'm calling American Satellite to get a direct TV system.
Presidential candidate.
Are you going to offer me over 125 digital quality channels for as little as $39.99 a month, including my local channels?
Ice Cream Man.
Yeah, like that's going to work. If I call American Satellite right now, I can get a four-room direct TV system, including professional installation free. Can you beat that?
Pizza Man.
You already tried that. Well, that's it. I'm calling to get my direct TV system.
Call American Satellite at 1-800-641-0928. That's 1-800-641-0928. Ask how you can get 3 free months of HBO and Cinemax. Call 1-800-641-0928. At $4.99 a month for second and each additional receiver offer ends February 28, 2005. Call now.
This is America on the Road. Don't look now, but the recreational vehicle of today has changed drastically. We'll have all the details for you next. Stay tuned.
In today's information economy, the success of a business is measured in more than profits and margins. The new and highly valued asset of modern companies is information, and the task of protecting this asset against virus attacks and network intrusions has become a complex endeavor. IT departments must be able to remove vulnerabilities by instantly deploying vital security patches and configuration updates company-wide. They must minimize the risk of downtime by automatically adjusting backup policies for mission-critical servers and workstations. And they must rapidly recover critical systems and data after an attack. Today's successful business keeps its information secure and available to the people who need it. For more information about managing and securing an IT infrastructure for today's enterprises, visit itstrategycenter.com. IT Strategy Center is brought to you by Symantec.
This is Jackie Rad. Camping sure isn't what it used to be. In fact, many campgrounds aren't even called campgrounds these days. This according to the Trailer Life Campground RV Parks and Services Directory. The latest guide is a one-stop shopping resource for complete campground and RV park information. The RV experience continues to evolve as families seek more and more creature comforts on the road. According to Trailer Life, the RV industry is experiencing a trend toward larger motorhomes, more internet usage, and other 21st century amenities at campgrounds and RV parks. For example, many now offer cigar bars, health spas, and complimentary lap dances.
This is Mike Hansen. The baby boomer generation is definitely making a difference in expectations at the campground and RV park. Sales of RVs are expected to reach their highest level in 25 years, fueled by middle-aged Americans' increasing affinity for the big, fuel-thirsty rigs. Although Wall Street has worried that high fuel costs could curb consumer demand for RVs, the industry so far shows no sign of slowing. The improving economy and Americans' desires to spend more time with their families are helping to set the pace.
And we'll have more next time on America on the Road from CBS Westwood One.
A slick way to make money. I'm Chris Whitting with The Success Journal. History will cast Marc Gregoire in a positive way. He loved nothing more than relaxing at the fishing hole. But Marc had noticed the technology of fishing poles hadn't changed in centuries. Deciding to invent a better fishing rod, he spent years trying to create a design with plastic. First, he built a heavy-duty mold from aluminum, then found a way to coat the aluminum with Teflon. While the new fishing pole never did hook customers, Mark's decision to coat aluminum with Teflon was a big breakthrough. In fact, that breakthrough's probably in your kitchen. Mark's accidental discovery was to find a way to make nonstick aluminum cookware. He cooked up a real fortune. With the Success Journal, I'm Chris Whitting.
One in four adults has high blood pressure. If you're one of them and you have a cold, Coracetin HBP has surprising news for you. The American Heart Association recognizes that decongestants found in many leading cold medicines can raise your blood pressure and interfere with blood pressure medication. So why risk it? Only decongestant-free Coracetin HBP provides a line of safe, powerful cold and flu medication specially formulated for people with high blood pressure. So make the safe choice. Coracetin HBP. Use as directed.
If you're looking for world-class website hosting at a fair price, Pear Networks is your best choice. Whether you're a professional web designer or a beginner just getting your site online, Pear Networks has a web hosting plan that's right for you. Log on and learn more at Pear.com. That's P-A-I-R.com. Pear Networks. World-class web hosting at a fair price. Visit us at Pear.com. Pear Networks.
WWNR Beckley.
Radio for the real majority.
Welcome back. About 23 minutes left in this Friday night edition of Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid. Plenty of time for some fun yet, and Wayne has patiently waited, and we appreciate that. Hey, Wayne.
Hey, buddy. How you doing?
Doing pretty good.
Did I just hear announcer say something about Radio Free Beckley?
Yeah.
Well, that's where we're at, ain't it?
That's right.
I mean, all right, man. Look what it did for Europe.
That's right.
Radio Free Europe.
Yeah, they haven't had fascism come back in years.
Exactly. Well, you got to start somewhere.
Right. No. This is as good a place as any.
Okay, first thing I have to say, David's right. It's going to be the Eagles.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
Bob, you know where I come from.
Yeah, sure. Well, I do.
I got to be for the underdogs.
Okay.
Right?
Now, well,
I mean, you know, the New England Patriots to me is corporate America. Totally irrational, I know, and all that stuff.
But, I know.
You know, that's the way I see it.
Well, you know, there's a Republican governor in Massachusetts, too.
That's too bad.
You know, so, I mean, that gives me a little one of those Eagles lean, too.
Right.
Yeah, you know, you got a Democratic governor in Pennsylvania.
I'm a Steeler fan, and who called up, it wasn't Maggie,
Mary Lou.
Mary Lou. You know, I if Mary Lou's listening, I appreciate her support, and I could handle it, you know, that the Steelers lost.
It hurts.
Stuff, but yeah, it hurts. I mean, they're my team. You know, I was born, raised, and they'll always be my team.
And it's not like they didn't have a chance.
No, no. But look what they did.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, what an amazing season.
Yeah, and, you know, to be honest, and there's a truth in it, Wayne. You know, you live by the rookie, you die by the rookie.
Well, exactly, but the rookie won't always be a rookie.
No, he'll come
back. Terry Bradshaw was a rookie once.
Yeah, and that's the thing. You know, Roethlisberger picked up experience this year that some professional quarterbacks don't get in 10 years in the NFL.
Right. And, you know, it was funny because that day, you know, I kept going, you know, like, okay, Bill, you know, why don't you put in, I can't even think of his name right now.
No, Tommy Maddox?
Tommy Maddox,
yeah.
You know. And I was mad at him. I was mad at him for a couple of days, but then I thought, you got to show that rookie what it is to lose, to really lose.
Yeah.
Let that sink in.
Yeah, and not
the
just
the big game, and get that over with.
Yeah, and not just lose the big game, but lose the big game largely on his own screw-ups.
Oh, yeah, it was your fault. You can't blame it on anybody else, Ben.
Yeah, I mean, you know.
You know, yeah.
Character builder. It's a character builder.
Yes, it is.
That's what they used to tell me when we'd lose a football or a baseball game. It's a character builder, and feels a hell of a lot like a loss, Coach.
Right. Yeah. That's what they tell me in the union movement all the time, and it's a character builder. But did you see the newspaper today?
Well, some of it. Did I miss something?
There's a report there. It says, report, union membership in up in West Virginia.
Really?
Down nationwide.
Yes. Wow.
Cool. Very encouraging.
Well, you know, maybe I was right.
Very encouraging.
Maybe George Bush is the best thing that ever happened to organized labor.
You know, you tried to tell me that a couple of years ago, and I think I argued with you.
Yeah.
I apologize.
Yeah, well, you know, I don't know if it's a victory that I necessarily wanted.
Well, me either, but, you know, what are you going to do? You got to make the best out of the situation. You know. But there is a report in the paper today, and it, well, oddly enough, it comes from the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics, which is under George Bush now. But
we're letting him count the union members, and he still says there's more of it?
And he still says there are more, so we probably made greater gains than they're giving us credit for.
Yeah, because there's probably a little bit of that evangelical miracle math involved.
Right.
Two and two equals one.
I mean, according to these figures, and these are from the Bureau of Labor Statistics, in 2003, 14.2% of the people in West Virginia were represented by unions. That figure increased to 15.7% in 2004.
Awesome.
That's pretty significant.
Yeah, it is.
That's 1.5 increase.
That's the kind of thing that makes Don Blankenship sit up in the middle of the night with the cold sweat running off the top of his forehead, Wayne.
Yes, it does. You know, and I hope he has many more years of sweat left. Because, I thought that was real significant, and I was real happy about it.
That's encouraging.
Yes, it is. I've been at meetings all afternoon down in Greenbrier County about the Greenbrier Cogeneration Project, which I've talked about before.
Right.
The power plant in Raynell,
the Angene Gob pile,
right?
Burning
that. You know, if that brings, you know, to mind people, if that identifies the project to people more, that's going to be a union construction project. That's a $215 million project.
And it's a done. I mean, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. It's done. I mean,
as far as it being union.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's done.
Excellent.
You know. Now, we have to jump through a bunch of hoops with, you know, environmental and da-da-da, you know, all the permitting. But everything's going good. We expect to break ground in the spring of 2006. Not this spring.
Right.
Spring after, you know. And as a matter of fact, and I want all the people on the 19th of February, which is a Saturday, we're having a jobs fair and a public meeting at Greenbrier West High School. And the public, of course the public's invited. And, you know, we want people to come and people that are interested maybe in apprenticeships and even journeyman people, because this jobs fair is not just for that Greenbrier project, but for projects all over West Virginia, which there'll be many of them, you know.
You know, that's just exciting from the ground up, Wayne.
It is exciting. It is exciting. And you know, all unions are, you know, there are, and I think I've said it on this program or other programs before, people are, well, business, George Bush's crowd try to, you know, the portray unions as a bad thing.
Right.
But, you know, all a union is people coming together to join an organization that, you know, with that organization they gain.
Right.
You know, that...
It's no different than the Chamber of Commerce. It's no different than the Oil and Gas Association.
It's no different than
the AMA or the ABA. Right.
Exactly. Same thing. You know, it's a group of people that join together for the betterment of the group. that they have more power together than they do individually.
Right, and by virtue of bettering the group, they better themselves.
And they better the world.
Right.
You know, what's wrong with people being able to negotiate wages and working conditions and benefits?
Well, you're right,
what's
Wayne.
What's wrong with that?
And see, that's one of the things I was thinking about that. I'm glad you brought it up. Labor has been under, and you know, nobody's really going to take issue with this. Labor has been under assault for what, 30 years now?
Oh, minimum.
Yeah.
Well, I think we've been under assault forever.
Well, yeah, labor's been under assault.
The last 30 years has been really bad.
You know, labor has been under assault since Gronk looked at Og and said, give me more clamshells.
Exactly.
But the fact of the matter is there has been a concerted assault on labor that really reached a fever pitch when Ronnie Reagan, may he roast in hell, tossed out Patco.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And with that began a real
Ronnie Reagan, who used to be president of the
Screen Actors
Guild. Yeah.
Yeah, and that means
nice
that means he goes to one of those really really low Dantean rings of hell for people who betray other people.
Right. But we call him a turncoat?
Only if you're feeling solicitous and generous, and you know, it's like my buddy the air traffic controller.
Well, there's only so many. They have some words you're not allowed to say on the air, right?
Right.
So turncoat got to be it.
Yeah, lickspittle, backstabber, Benedict Arnold, yeah, all of those. But the fact of the matter is, he really gave a big push to the kill organized labor movement, because you know Republicans have always hated organized labor in large part.
Almost more than they hated Social Security.
Well, I mean, you know, don't stretch things.
Right.
but the fact of the matter is, so labor's been under this assault, and labor's had a hard time, you know, surviving, and yet. What you have to ask yourself, if you really want to analyze this, is in the last 30 years, at what point in time did making more money and having health benefits and having a viable pension become a bad thing?
I don't know.
And if the answer to that is it never did, then there's no problem with organized labor.
Well, there certainly shouldn't be.
You know, I never touched on it. I had a story, it came from France. Ooh, we hate the French.
Didn't they give us that statue there that holds that big torch up?
Well, we try not to. Yeah, but we try not to talk about that.
Oh, okay.
It's got that goofy inscription about giving
it
your fire.
Didn't they help us win that revolution?
Stop it.
That's right.
Yeah, I mean, we've got a statue of Marquis de Lafayette on the grounds of the Fayette County Courthouse. Yeah. I'm surprised
we're still there.
I'm surprised we don't have the triangular black bag.
George Bush.
You know, since it's already standing on a pedestal, I'm surprised we haven't put a triangular black bag over its head and hung some jumper cables off his hand.
There you go. Maybe we should.
don't you?
Oh God.
But the fact of the matter is, a month ago, the French government said to labor in France, you know, hey, we've got a good mind to screw you. And do you know what happened in France, Wayne?
Nobody went to work the next day, Bob.
And when we say nobody, I mean nobody with a capital
nobody.
N. I mean judges didn't go to work.
Right.
Doctors didn't go to work. Lawyers didn't go to work. Architects didn't go to work. Bankers didn't go to work. You know, not just the guys mixing the concrete and making the railroads run on time.
Right.
Can you imagine an America where when organized labor says, you know, hey, we're getting screwed, we're going on strike, and a judge would stand up and be so American as to just fold his robe and throw it over his chair and say, well, I'm by God not doing any judicial business today.
We had one judge that would have done that.
Yeah, that's true.
They got rid of him.
Instead, we got a kiddie rape exploiter. you know, maybe. Hey, wow. You know, maybe little Benji knows Jeffrey Patty, who enjoyed so much watching that video of a 45-year-old man rape a 5-year-old little girl. Wonder if Benji's seen that little movie.
I don't know, Bob. I know that.
Well, I know Republicans like to watch that kind of thing.
Well, you're not going to get me into that one.
No, that's my job. That's my job.
Yeah, it is your job, you know, and I'm going to let you have it, and I'm glad you do it, you know. And for your critics, who you had one earlier,
yeah,
I don't want to mention names or anything like that, but I wonder, You know, like this same person that earlier was criticizing you for calling all Republicans this or Christians that or preachers that or whatever his point was, he gets so upset at you. Does that same person sit there and listen to Rush Limbaugh for 3 hours and find absolutely no flaws at all?
Right.
You know.
Yeah.
You know, what can I say? Let's apply the same rules to everybody.
Oh, no. In Republican world, sauce for the goose is anything but sauce for the gander.
Exactly. And I have a problem with that, a very serious problem with that.
Yeah, me too, kind of. By the way, did you happen to hear me mentioning this interim meeting on Monday the 7th? About the clean elections?
Oh, no. Where?
Yeah, in Charleston, 1 o'clock.
This is Monday?
Yeah.
Okay. I already have prior commitments. Where at?
It's Senate Judiciary Room 208 West at the Capitol.
Okay.
Consideration of a proposed pilot project on campaign finance reform. It may be the most important thing that happens in Charleston for the next 8 weeks.
Well, yeah, it is. You know, why do we have to have the meeting? Well, you know, why does it have to be limited to that?
Why does it have to be a pilot project? Yeah, I mean, why not just
right,
do it?
Exactly, you know. When did this notice come out?
I got it in my email today from our good friend Judy.
Okay. Well, we have to do something to have more meetings like that.
Yeah.
And more advanced notice.
Well, I tell you what, I will forward this to you because there's all the contact information for Select Committee F on campaign finance reform.
Right.
All the delegates, all the senators, and perhaps we can circulate a little bit and just, you know.
Yeah, well, because we need to have meetings all over the state about this.
Yeah, we do.
You know, not just one place, one time that no one knows about.
Right. And well,
which is, you know, who's planning that?
Right. You know, but, there, you know, Mike Caputo's on the committee.
Mike Caputo's a good man.
Yeah, he is.
Okay.
I'll
call Mike.
Yeah, John Hunter up in Mon County's on it.
Yeah.
Truman Chafin. There's Virginia Mann's name. We know she hates it.
Does she?
Yeah, she despises the clean elections bill. She says it makes her feel like she's somehow corrupt.
Maybe
because
you are.
Well, you know, nobody says that. We're just saying, hey, let's clean up the process. Let's not make you beholden to a bunch of people, you know, and waste your time going around with your hand out.
And if that makes you feel corrupt, well.
Pretty is pretty does.
I don't know what
I'm going to get in trouble for that, Wayne. Oh, I'm going
to. Well, you know, trouble's my middle name. It's your first name, pal.
Oh, God.
But, you know, that's what makes the world go round.
Yeah. But, you know, I just want her on our side. I think she's a pretty decent human being, and she's just on the wrong side of this issue, and I don't know why.
Well, I know Virginia personally. I have for years, and I'm going to have to go talk to her.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't understand that. Does that? Well, that doesn't make sense. I mean, because that law, I mean, from what I know of that law, it doesn't restrict you.
No, it's voluntary.
Right.
If you want to go and huckster around and eat the rubber chickens and the beans and cornbread, you know, to get a donation, by all means do so. Some
yeah.
of us just think we would be better served by people who spend their time talking with ordinary West Virginians and don't have to feel like they've got to go out and shake the money tree.
That's exactly right. Yeah. What's wrong with that?
Craziness. It's madness, I tell you.
Well, yeah.
You know, on my part, of course.
Exactly.
I'm the crazy guy. I want ordinary, brilliant people to be able to run for office without, you know, having to go and, you know, roll around in the mud with the likes of Don Blankenstein.
Well, and after, I mean, what did the governor raise?
No.
How much money did the not just the governor, but the gubernatorial candidates raise?
Oh, enough to burn a herd of wet elephants, we know that.
Right, for a job that pays, what, $95,000 a year or something?
Yeah.
I mean, I think he does, well, let me think. justices, Supreme Court justices went up to 95. What's the governor make?
It's gotta be in that neighborhood.
Yeah, but I know Wise's economic development guy made more money.
Oh, he made more money than God.
Yeah, he did. Yeah,
he did. I'm still upset about that.
But I don't know. I didn't know Virginia Mann was against that bill. I'm going to have.
Well, that's what she told me last year before the primary run up. She said she really opposed the bill because it made her feel like they were calling her corrupt.
The system is corrupt, Virginia.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have to be part of that.
Right.
Am I right? I don't know.
No, I mean, you are. You know, and I like the idea of having to, you know, get out there and actually talk to human beings. You know, you want to run for election, you by golly get, you know, however many $5 donations from
people.
And
it wasn't that many. How many was it?
Yeah, what, 50, 75?
Something like that, yeah.
So, you know.
Do you have somebody talking in your ear?
No.
That's not fair, you know, when you have people backing you up like that, having the information about.
Hey, Wayne, I appreciate it, man.
I appreciate you, and I appreciate Radio Free Beckley. I'm going to save the state, man.
Thanks.
And remember, union membership is up in West Virginia. Maybe not the rest of the world, but West Virginia can set an example.
West Virginia.
You know how everybody's always complaining about we're 50th?
Yeah.
Let's be number one in union membership.
And then watch
about
the,
that.
Yeah, and then watch the good things happen.
Exactly.
You know, and you know, it's worth remembering, Wayne, West Virginia has led the way before.
Always.
When business was running armored machine gun trains through coal camps and mowing down pregnant mothers.
Yeah. And, well, right, too. And another thing we were first off, where was the first aerial bombing the United States government ever?
Yeah, and done in the name of big coal, Blair Mountain.
Exactly.
Sure.
Right.
You know, the coal, you know, and so, you know, blood, sweat, tears, and toil.
There's a great goal. Let's be number one in working people standing up for themselves, West Virginia.
I'm sure that's going to set the Chamber of Commerce's hair on fire, Wayne.
Oh, well, they need their hair set on fire, Bob.
I understand. Have a great weekend. Enjoy the Super Bowl, all right?
Okay, man, you know, it ain't the Steelers.
Yeah.
I'm an Eagles fan this weekend.
Right.
They're from the same state, you know.
Yeah, they're
about 300 miles east, I think.
Yeah, I heard something about that.
Okay.
All right, we'll see you later.
All right, brother.
Later. Okay, hey, sorry, everybody. Out of time. So those of you on hold, I apologize. Thanks for the great week. Thanks for the great night. We'll have another great night come Monday evening at 7 o'clock. The show, of course, tonight produced by the inimitable John Tepe, engineered by Randy Kerbway, announced at least in part by Brian Reznor, and brought to you as ever by the Affiliated Construction Trades Foundation. If you're working in West Virginia, indeed they are working for you. Also brought to you by our very, very, very good friends at the West Virginia Pipe Trades. And, of course, don't forget, you can go by www.whiterosesociety.org and listen to the program most anytime you want to. We're grateful to them, too. Thanks very much, Ben Birch. Hey, Agnes!